If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You love my black ass. You know why? Because I'm exciting.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
Affirmative action was designed to keep women and minorities in competition with each other to distract us while white dudes inject AIDS into our chicken nuggets. That's a metaphor.
It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down!
Tom Brady takes their football team down and scores. You're down a touchdown. All of a sudden, you take your team 83 yards in 12 plays. Was there ever any doubt that you could pull that off?
Oh, wait, I'm sticky.
That is not very nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
And now,
are you ready?
I sure am. Are you ready?
I sure am.
Our feature presentation.
And now, a moment with Bean.
She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Frank. Frank?
Hit it, Steve.
What the hell?
You just called Ralph Frank.
You have a stroke?
That was a moment with Bean.
And that was back when he worked on the show. Now that he's gone a few days, what are the chances I'm going to be able to correctly identify him when he comes back in on Monday?
Let's just start calling him Frank full-time.
I like
no
that.
No explanation.
And then pretend that we don't know what he's talking about, right, when he starts protesting. Frank, why are you yelling at us?
What's wrong with you? Yeah, Ralph's on vacation this week to move, and that's
a horrible vacation.
That's not good. That's really not good.
However, having said that, it would be even more miserable trying to move and work full-time, too. I mean,
there's
really no good situation because moving blows no matter when you have to do it. So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Ralph Harmon.
We'll call him Frank Harmon.
I like it.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday, the 21st of May I See Them?
I want to squeeze them.
Don't even get me started.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nokia Theater LA Live and the main event.
Mike, were you aware of the immense sporting competition that was going on last night at the Nokia?
No, but when I drove by on the 110, I was like, wow, it must be some huge fight. There must be something going down.
Well, clearly if they bring in Michael Buffer, the Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy, it's got to be important, right?
This is the fight of the century, scheduled for 3 rounds of competition. So let's get ready to rumble!
Who was it, Lisa? Who was there for 3 rounds last night? Do you remember?
I don't know what we're talking about.
It's a really? Big fight?
First, in the red corner, weighing in at 180 pounds, he's the real deal from Blue Springs, Missouri. He's David Sugarfoot Cook!
Oh, David Cook. It's the American Idol
what?
Show last night. That's what it is.
Are you serious?
American
and they
Idol.
Did it there?
Yeah. No, they did
Sugarfoot.
It at Nokia, which is where they do.
Oh,
it.
I didn't know that's where they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And his opponent in the blue corner, weighing around 100 pounds, soaking wet. He's the humble pride of Murray, Utah. Ladies and gentlemen, David Babyface Aguilera.
See, here's the thing, and I know that I'm the guy who watches the show. I understand that.
Yeah,
that
so
I,
this is I, all your fault.
It's all on your shoulders,
I'm to blame.
My friend. Yep.
I know. I understand that. It's funny to do this. It's funny to bring out the pomp and the circumstance if it's something that is not taken seriously. If it's a guinea pig race, it's hilarious to have Michael Buffer out there talking about the competitors, right?
Right.
But if it's a show that does nothing every week but just hype you to the max, then I get the sense that they actually believe it is the fight of the century.
Yeah.
They get they act every week as if it's the most important thing you'll ever do is watch this show and vote for this 17-year-old who sings.
And I'm sorry, who's to blame for this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we the public. But the show, I mean, you know, ratings are down like they're down on every single TV show this year. But still, they're down way less than any other show. It's still bigger than everything else that's on the dial at the same time American Idol did. if you added it all up, has fewer viewers than American Idol does.
Why are you bad, America?
Well, their ratings won't be down after this. I mean, no. People are going to see her this.
This is the biggest showdown in showbiz history.
Okay.
I think that can be, that's true, by the way.
Is it the biggest showdown in showbiz history?
Yes.
We have a lot of showdowns in
name
showbiz,
a bigger one.
By the way. Right?
I mean.
Name a bigger one.
Biggest showdown in showbiz history. I don't know what it is. It's not this. It's not two people that none of us will be able to remember their names in 3 months. It's not.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. Who's responsible for this?
It's coming to you live, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Idol!
Well, I got to be honest and I tell you that I'm kind of glad it's ending tonight. I'm about done with it.
Why are you bad, America?
But then I'll start, you know, they'll start playing.
Yes, you will, a-hole.
They'll start playing the promos for next season.
Yep.
They'll start showing you the auditions during the World Series, and we'll start to go, you know what? It's been gone for a while now. I sort of miss it. Now it's coming back in January. Maybe I'm back on board.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
I skipped one season, and I missed it. So yeah, maybe I'll be back on.
But you can look back and go, that season I didn't watch, I was all right.
I survived.
I skipped one season, and then I skipped the next season.
Right.
And then I skipped
the
this
that.
Season. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm happy.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Well, it was a little over the top last night, I got to be honest.
I'm sorry, a little over the top.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I didn't even get to the part where they got freaking Jim Lampley out there giving advice and talking about it and comparing it all hour long to a boxing match.
Oh, how
about,
embarrassing.
You know, when you come out for the second round, you're going to be a little tired, you know. You've got to work on this and be aware of that, and as if it were an actual sporting competition is what
wow.
they were doing.
Yeah, man.
That's your show, man.
So that happened.
Let's see, who's to blame for that? Mm-hmm. Oh, the people that watch it.
What the hell is that?
I don't know if this is true, but I'm guessing that I was home last night watching Sex and the City, and you would rather have done that with me than watch American Idol.
Let's not get
come
crazy.
Come on, listen to the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that Sex and the City, but it drives me out of my mind.
Sometimes it is laugh out loud funny.
Yes, it is. That's what I've noticed. No, I've never laughed once.
Last night I laughed out loud several
Please.
Times.
Please. But you didn't like Dazed and Confused. What do we have in common? Our senses of humor.
Yeah, that's a piece of crap.
Oh.
Wow. All right, that kind of day.
Beans
like
bad.
That.
We begin with Beans bad, and then Lisa's bad. I'll be bad. Give me time. Don't worry, but
not yet.
Not yet.
You were over watching Dancing with the Stars finale. Is that where you were last night, Kevin?
Turns out, was not. No.
It is interesting that the two Olympic people, Olympians that they put on that show, both won.
Who?
Christy Yamaguchi won.
And who was
Sorry!
The, who was the
She's
other one?
She's an ice skater.
Apollo Ohno.
Yeah, Apollo Ohno. Now, she kind
of
makes...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant they were partners.
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But the last two, right?
I see.
Anyway,
don't care.
I was just wondering if it's, I mean, with Christy, it makes sense because dancing is a lot like skating.
Right.
Sure.
And obviously she has a lot of ability, but not for the other guy. He's like a speed skater.
Apollo Ohno?
Oh, yeah.
You've not seen him race around the oval.
So then you have to wonder if it's just being able to put your mind to it. Like they have so much desire and so much competitiveness in them that that's what makes them winners, regardless of what they do.
Also being accustomed to training.
Yeah.
Here's my real question. We're still talking about Dancing with the Stars?
Well, it just struck me. It was interesting.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Let's talk about something good.
Okay.
Western Conference Finals mm-hmm. tonight. Los Angeles Lakers against San Antonio Spurs. Lamar Odom will be on the program.
How about that?
Lamar Odom. Very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we tell them about the shoes?
Absolutely.
Do we? I don't know.
Why
here's
not?
The because
they're traveling with them now.
I know, but isn't it just better? By the way, I don't know if he needs to be told about the shoes. Money rides on the goddamn bus and plane with him. So,
no, I know.
I'm sure he's probably, hey, listen here, hello. I got a little story to tell you about my shoes.
I'm guessing the players don't need that kind of
right.
thinking. You know what I mean?
You think the players think that they're involved in who wins and loses?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's what I think. I think if L.O., finds out about the shoes,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have to play as hard.
He's going to take the night off.
Right, because he's got the shoes.
I got the Congress weapons.
Well, that's what I was just saying. Do you think that they somehow think that they're involved in who wins and loses? And if we tell them that they're not, then they won't try anymore?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You don't think they'd be insulted to think that you're winning the games for them with your stupid shoes?
Listen to me. Listen to me. It seems to have worked with this don't ask, don't tell situation that we have right now. Why ruin it? That's all I'm saying.
That's the policy? Don't ask, don't tell?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't realize that.
Shoes. Oh, my God. Shoes.
I just think he'd appreciate the effort that the fans are going to, though. I think it would pump him up. It would make him feel great that people are out there, you know, taking San Antonio Spurs game programs and putting them in the freezer or whatever they're doing. You know, the fans are doing their part, I think, would make him feel good.
He's working his ass off, and we're putting we're getting under a sheet in the fourth blanket in the fourth quarter. That's what we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also on today's show, we have highlights of the Armenian comedian. He's not going to be on the program with us, so don't worry.
Thank God.
But Lightning had the Armenian comedian, who also is Mr. Clown. He puts on clown makeup and is truly scary clown looking. Come over to his 3-year-old kid's birthday party.
What was he thinking?
So we said, Lightning, you must videotape this.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you about that a little bit later on this morning.
Does he make balloon animals? Does he tell jokes? Does he ride a unicycle? What does he do?
He doesn't make balloon animals as much as balloon swords because it's one straight line.
Okay.
Because it's just a long balloon.
All you have to do is blow it up. Right.
It's unbelievable.
And the jokes he tells the group of kids?
Uh-huh.
Why did Michael Jackson pants fit so tight? And the little 3-year-olds are looking at him like, I don't... Because they were the pants of the kid who he had sex with.
Oh, wow. There's ouch.
Nothing like pedophilia chunk to run through with children.
Fortunately, the kids at the age of that party have no idea who Michael Jackson is or what he's even talking about.
Right.
There's no way they even get the reference. They don't even understand the joke.
But don't you get the feeling that one of the kids that was in attendance at that party will one day kill, and then he'll get let off because of this traumatic incident?
Very possible.
Joe Rogan will be in the studio today.
Yes.
Always love having him. Talking about UFC 84 this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
UFC or UFOs or whatever he's got on his mind today.
UFC 84 is Ill Will.
Oh, really?
Isn't he crazy?
Yes, that's the same guy.
That's why we like him. We are going to talk about Indiana Jones, which, by the way, comes out tonight at midnight.
Yes.
So
technically
excited.
Tomorrow, but tonight at midnight is when they start showing the movie, so that's pretty cool.
Is that the movie that, Mike, that intern Moose is going to stay up all night and go see?
Yeah, he's so Indiana excited. Jones? Are you going to be there tonight at midnight? No, Moose, I'm not. I got to get here pretty early. Oh, I'm so excited.
Is he drunk?
No, he's Moose.
Oh, maybe we should have him in and have him give us a recap of the first three.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's pretty easy, right? And we need to catch up for people who haven't
seen
him.
It's been 20 years, of course.
Well, maybe we'll have to do that. And we have a new voice talent on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about that. We're going to do the Wheel of Celebrity Voices today. Ralph's on vacation, but we have the Man of 1,000 Voices here at K-Rock.
That isn't good for you.
And we're going to make him do all of the voices that we have had in the past here on the world-famous K-Rock, and I think he's going to nail it.
Oh,
I think he's
going to
just
awesome.
Knock it right out of the park.
Yeah.
So that's coming up today as well. It's 5:43. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Go to Beck's website, by the way, to hear the new song that he just put up that he is streaming this week, if you want to hear what Beck has been up to later. Congratulations to Chris Alvarado from Camarillo and Lindsay Martinez from Tustin. They have both won tickets to kick off Memorial Day weekend in style with our good friend Ted Stryker. He's going to be out at Universal on Friday. And we got more tickets you can win throughout the day coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat at 5:52. This seems like a bad start.
What?
I you know, you never want to be the guy that breaks the news.
Yeah.
So hopefully most of you have heard of this by now. But
okay.
Jessica Alba and Cash Warren married yesterday.
Aww.
No! She's having his kid, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's pregnant.
Is that why? That's the hot new Hollywood trend, you know, getting married when you're pregnant.
Got married yesterday at the courthouse.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it was going to happen, having a baby.
But she's young enough that she'll be done with him in a couple of years and she'll, you know, get back to fighting weight and be out there looking again.
And when she does, she's going to run into me and lose it.
Sure.
You'll be right there.
That's what's going to happen, if I'm not mistaken.
She strikes me as the type who will bounce back well from a baby. I see her being like the Halle Berry type that, you know, a year after the kid, you can't even tell.
Sure.
As opposed to, you know, one of those who puts on the 80 pounds or whatever and never loses it.
Yep. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a gooder. Speaking of weddings, speaking of divorces, been a lot of that going on this week. Dylan McDermott, who, of course, was the star of The Practice,
mm-hmm.
an awesome actor, by the way. What a beautiful wife he had, and now it's had, not has.
Oh, really?
Sheva Rose, you know who I'm talking
yeah.
about. They've been 11 years. No, how long have they been together? They've been married since 1995, so 13 years. They got two kids. And the only reason I really bring this story up, because it's not even news that somebody else is getting a divorce, is that he is going to represent himself in the divorce case. He's going to act as his own lawyer, which suggests to me that maybe he believes he's a lawyer because he played one for so long on TV.
That is always a bad idea.
Always.
Huh, interesting.
Unless it's just he knows going in that it's super civil, like it's something they've already kind of agreed to all the details of, and it's just formalities in front of the court, and maybe that's what he's thinking is, look, it's not like I need to, you know, prove anything or do anything extraordinary. It's just finalizing what we've already agreed to. Maybe it's a civil divorce.
Even if. I mean, he's going to get right. Something's going to happen, and he's going to go, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean.
I object, I wonder how, Your Honor.
I wonder how much of it comes into play that I've stood in front of a lot of, you know, quote-unquote juries wearing a suit saying lawyer stuff, so
sure.
I can probably handle this.
He has quite some big speeches.
I can't imagine that he really thinks he's a lawyer. Or knows enough from the show?
I don't know.
You know, he was a criminal attorney, not a divorce attorney.
That's a good point.
I know.
It's a different kind
weird.
Of law.
Yeah.
And the other wedding news is, you know, everybody's abuzz about all the gay weddings that are happening. Of course, we talked to the great George Takei, Mr. Sulu from Star Trek yesterday. He's very excited about marrying his life partner, mm-hmm. as is Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi. By the way, I'm very excited about seeing Portia de Rossi kiss a girl, even if it is Ellen. I'm looking forward to those photos. But that's the hottest invite in Hollywood this summer. And apparently yesterday, Justin Timberlake offered to write a song and perform at the ceremony.
Which wow. At whose? Ellen's?
Ellen and Portia, yeah.
Oh.
Which is not something I'd choose. It's not something I'd want at my wedding. Kind of spoil the day for me. But I guess if you're, you know, if you're girly and you love Justin, I'm sure it's a big deal for them. It's kind of a nice offer for him to make.
That's not a normal thing to have a celebrity singer write you a song.
Really like Ellen.
I guess so.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I just was handed a note that we're going to get a copy of that song tomorrow, which is very good.
Wow.
Very good.
The Justin okay. Timberlake song?
Yes.
How did you know that, Mike?
I heard
Source?
It grapevine.
R. Kelly's trial is going on in Chicago.
Is it really?
75 years after peeing on a chick that was 13.
She's
allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
He, as we thought, said it wasn't him.
Right.
He says he's got a mole on his back, and the guy in the video clearly does not.
Uh-huh.
The girl says it's not her.
See, that's what makes this case so interesting, is that seems like a tough prove if neither person in the video says it's them. And but there's no other witnesses.
We haven't seen the video because that would be illegal.
Right.
Sure.
Had we seen the video, I'm guessing there's no way you could be anyone else except for R. Kelly.
Sure looked like
yeah.
him to me.
You heard.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All
right.
Rodney.
Stop it. So anyway, they're both saying that they're not doing it. Prosecutors showed the 26-minute video in court yesterday.
Isn't that weird that they, I mean, I guess you'd have to because that's the centerpiece of the case. But I mean, the juror's job was to watch child porn yesterday that outside of that courtroom would be illegal to view.
How
and I'm saying
funny.
Again, because it's illegal, we haven't seen it. But had we, it would be a super, super boring horrible sex video.
26 minutes.
Neither person having any fun.
Yeah, if anybody on that jury was looking forward to it even a little bit, even just for period interest because they thought it was going to be hot somehow, wrong.
They called it, somebody in the court called it vile, disturbing, and disgusting sex acts.
Actions I drink that, your milkshake.
That's a clip actually from the video.
Actions that were choreographed, produced, and starred in by R. Kelly.
Wow.
How about some teenagers?
Well, right, stop it.
he's going to get away with it, isn't he?
I don't know.
He's going to walk, isn't he?
I mean, of course he's going to say it's not him. But the fact that she says that, I don't know.
And how much did he pay her to make that happen?
Right.
Allegedly. It seems like they would have to be able to prove it. With what they could do with video these days, it seems like they could, you know, focus in, zoom in on something.
Face recognition software or something like that, some sort of match.
And like
that's
you
probably
said,
what they'll do.
Showing photos of her at that age. And what about her parents? Like, where was she at that time?
Wasn't that, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that his goddaughter?
Yes. Yes.
So allegedly, he should be.
So one of parents, yeah. So one of the parents would have been one of his best friends, right? Is that how it works?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone asks you to be their the godfather if you're close to the family, right? The parents are probably not even at the trial because they're living in their $14 million mansion somewhere.
This is so disgusting.
That they didn't have to buy.
He's gonna walk.
I think you're right. Oh, my God.
Isn't that something?
But they should convict him for Hair Breeder. Have you heard that song?
Oh, I still haven't. I haven't heard Hair Breeder. You got to bring that in.
That is a bad, bad song.
It is interesting, by the way, that, and I know that I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I know that the African-American community does tend to rally around their people, good or bad.
Yeah.
He has had phenomenal success since being charged with child rape.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has had, you know, 10 number one songs since then. And clearly, by the way, that's not just a black audience. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, he's got a lot of fans out there of his music. But it doesn't seem like this has hurt him at all. If anything, it's just made him more famous.
Yeah, it really
does. What is up with that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, we're running out of time already. But a couple of music notes to mention. If you are an old-time K-Rock fan, you remember a terrific ska band called The Specials, who were very big back in the 70s. They are reuniting for the first time ever. After more than 25 years, they are
going out
on the road.
Maybe they'll be at Coachella next year.
Well, I saw a t-shirt that said Coachella, by the way.
By the way, I would not be surprised if they were at Coachella next year. It's exactly the kind of show that would be perfect for them.
I'll consider it a date, baby.
Also, Public Enemy is reuniting for the 20th anniversary of their hit album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. Chuck D gave an interview to Hollywood.tv. He says, I'm a little bit worried about remembering all the lyrics. It's never been something that I have a gift for. Like, a lot of people can do it. And, you know, P.E. songs have got about a million words per song.
Yeah.
So you got to go out there and try to sing those songs that you wrote all those years ago. Then it could be tough. But that's your opportunity to see Flavor Flav in person, you know, with that tour, the Public Enemy tour. And one more. This is great. You know, every once in a while I'll see an article about how much money these artists get paid. Lots of them do it to play private parties.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got a guy who's worth, you know, $1 billion and he is a fan of the White Stripes. He calls him up and goes, all right, what's it going to cost? I don't care what it costs. Tell me how much you want. Come play my daughter's wedding, right?
Yeah.
Elton John, for some time, has been saying no to this super rich guy who's opening a brand new luxury hotel in Moscow. He's been saying, I don't have time. I don't want to go. It's too far. I'm too busy. I've got a job. You know, it starts out at $1 million, then it gets to be $2 million. He's like, I'm still not interested. And then it gets to be $3 million. He goes, well, I don't know. Maybe I can make it. Then it's $4 million. He says, tell me more. He's going to do a one-hour concert to open this hotel, ladies and gentlemen, for $5.2 million.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Isn't that
jackpot?
Isn't that unbelievable? Wow. I don't know of very many jobs in the world where you can get $5.2 million for an hour. But, I mean, I guess you can't say no to that, right? You got to do it.
Well, if you live in England, you got to get it up that high because taxes are crazy there.
I think his home residence is Atlanta, Georgia. I think that's where he gets to keep most of that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You get $5.5 million, and after you pay taxes in England, that's about $10,000 take home.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a real bummer.
Anyway, so I don't want you to get bummed out if you're thinking about whatever job it is you're driving to today and how much you're making per hour. But Sir Elton, $5.2 million. Today's celebrity birthdays. Remember Judge Reinhold? Probably best known for the Beverly Hills Cop movies, I imagine.
Sure.
But he was a fun actor. He's 51 years old today. Al Franken, the author of one of the three books that Kevin has read in his life, Rush Limbaugh's a Big Fat Idiot. He is 57. Of course, he's very busy now running for the Senate from the state of Minnesota.
Never been funnier, Al Franken.
Yeah.
Really turning on the comedy afterburners.
He sure is. Richard Hatch is celebrating a birthday today. Not the bad naked one from Survivor, but the good Apollo from the original Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
That Richard Hatch is 63 years old.
Came back to Battlestar Galactica.
He did.
It's a different role, yeah.
And I got to tell you that Linda Edelstein from House is 40. Is 40. And if you saw the episode two weeks ago, that's pretty impressive that she's 40.
She looks amazing.
You saw her working that pole.
That was one
she
of
looks
the hottest
fantastic.
Scenes. That was one of the hottest scenes on television in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was way
and she's
hot.
40. I mean, she's got a banging, banging body, and they put her in a Catholic schoolgirl outfit and put her on a pole, and she's 40.
I so, pity the fool.
And, of course, the great Mr. T, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. T turns 56 years old today.
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
That's all you need to know. That's the correct show, Biz Beat. I'm a little bit bummed out. I missed Harrison Ford on TRL yesterday.
What? Really, are you kidding?
I really wanted to see how that interview went.
Are you kidding?
Because you know he's Mr. Excitement. You know that he is down with MTV and he's down with the kids, but he's going everywhere to get the word out that tonight at midnight is the night that Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull comes out. And he has been promoting it to death. He's been asked every question in the book. But one of the ones that I thought was the most fascinating is they said, are you upset that Sean Connery didn't come back? Remember, he played his dad in one of the other movies, right?
Right.
Are you? And Harrison Ford's response was really weird. He said, he wasn't really needed. Now, you'd think that having Sean Connery in your movie would be a plus, right? It'd be something to be
It'd
excited.
Be cool, yeah.
I guess, but yeah. But who would believe that a guy that old still has a living father? Maybe
I would
that's
agree.
The thing.
I would agree with you if John McCain's mom weren't still alive.
What?
I mean, yes.
Can we vote for her?
Well, maybe. But anyway, he told Total Film Magazine, "We don't need Sean for this movie. I'm old enough to play my own father." So at least he was trying to turn around and make it a joke. But I mean, it's a tiny bit of a slap in the face, I think, to the great Oscar winner Sean Connery, who we have on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Connery.
Beavish and Butthead. Good morning.
Well, Mr. Connery, we wanted to have you on, of course, because this is a big, big day as everyone is talking about the new Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull opening up at midnight.
Yes, everyone is talking about it, except me.
Well, you're not in this one.
That's right.
But
you know why?
They didn't need you.
Excuse me?
Harrison Ford said they didn't need you on this one.
Ooh.
The only thing Harrison Ford needs is a lot of in his
Oh, wow.
So the reason I didn't do it is because they didn't pay me enough.
That's part of it, but they didn't pay you enough because Harrison Ford said they didn't need you.
Listen, Harrison Ford is a boring what he's talking about. The whole idea for the Crystal Skull was mine in the first place.
What are you talking about?
That's what I used to call a sex act, when I'd grab a girl's head and write me a...
Come on.
I until I clouded up her vision with a copious amount of...
Oh, Sean.
I used to call that the Crystal Skull.
That's ugly.
I am never going to see that title the same way again, that's
Look out,
for sure.
Baby, here comes the Crystal Skull.
Oh, wow.
And then she'd scream and her eyes would get all bloodshot. And I'd laugh my off until I'd...
Oh, come on,
Sean.
Put
the language already. Come on.
I'm sorry. you.
Okay. I think the point is this. In the same interview, Harrison Ford says, look, as old as he is, he was insinuating they don't need anyone older than him on the set because it's bad enough that he's 65 and he's out there pretending to be Indiana Jones.
Listen, at my age, I could still kick his ass. You know why?
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 Because he f***ed that skinny What's her name?
Callista Flockhart.
Yeah, that's it.
What?
Yeah.
And so you could take him, you think?
Yes, because she's like a vampire. She sucks the energy right out of you.
I see, okay.
She's an alien. You ever see her giant head with those big headlight eyes?
Yeah, she's got a big head. That's
scary. And if he's head, I'm sure he's weak.
Oh,
well,
wow.
She's
drained the life force right out of his
Oh, wow. So there's no part of you, there's no vanity or ego part of you, Mr. Connery, that sees this international sensation that has been so long awaited and thinks, wow, I could have been a part of that. I kind of wish I was.
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
Right. Because here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be that big a hit.
You don't?
Really?
No, who wants to see an old f***ing running around in a hat and a whip?
Well,
you
want
to see that, you have to go to West Hollywood usually.
They're expecting it to be, you know, one of the big, big tentpole movies of the summer.
Well, I'm expecting you to s*** my
Okay.
Now, we were talking earlier about the fact that these DVDs are coming out, and you, of course, were in the third one, which was, I think, the second best after the original.
Yeah.
No, it was the best one.
It was the best one?
Yes, it's widely considered to be the best movie ever in the series of Indiana Jones.
Really? Because most people say Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first was still the best.
Well, most people can my Scottish brow.
Okay. When
I'm bearing down, rushing a haggis log.
Oh, Sean.
Hey, Sean. Shut
so
up.
Disgusting.
Who's the man responsible for letting the woman talk?
Haggis log, by the way, was the surprise of Weenie Roast last weekend. I'll tell you that right now.
It was a surprise to the other girl at her
The movie comes out tonight at midnight. You're not gonna go? I mean, you were in the series. You're not curious?
Oh, No, I'm not going to
go. How it came out?
No, I'm busy tonight.
What are you doing?
I've got two teenage girls giving me a bath with their tongue.
Okay, well, that does win. I will give you that.
You win.
It does.
All right, choice.
Sean, well, thanks for talking to us today. As usual, you've been a very nice person. Thank you.
As usual, you've been a bore.
Funny man, Joe Rogan joins us after the news at 7 tomorrow morning, the 7 o'clock hour. Our old friend Petros Papadakis is going to be here. And then on Friday, check this out, guys. It's been a while since we did an Ask A. We're doing Ask a CSI on Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got a forensic specialist who's going to be coming in to talk about all the cool stuff that they do. I guess you got to be a certain kind of person to get into that line of work.
You would think, right?
It's not for everybody.
Not for me.
Yeah, no.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line, 323-520 AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine.
Kevin, Bean, Ralph. Kevin, Bean, Lisa. Kevin, Bean, shut up, Bean. Die, Mike.
Okay.
We can all agree on the last part.
Yeah.
Hey, Omar. Rachel Ray is hot.
She is really fat. She be using words like, oh my gravy. Let's all face it, this big bitch is really, really crazy. And when I see a fat chick, I'm hollering, Rachel Ray.
You're just jealous because you can't have her. She is hot and sexy.
Yeah, that's what I know about Omar, is he's jealous because he can't have Rachel Ray.
Jealous.
When something good happens in your life, we do expect you to share it with us.
Kevin and Bean, I just had sex with not one, but two girls for the first time in my life.
Dude.
And let me tell you, it was fantastic. It may never happen again. And if it doesn't, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to be happy with that.
Well, that is the danger of having something exceptional happen like that, is because now just having sex with one girl is going to be a disappointment to him for the rest of his life.
Oh, remember that time when you're going to think for the rest of your life?
Yep.
Yesterday we were talking about ordering rules at a restaurant. And if you sit down at a restaurant and order, and somebody else orders something that sounds great to you, you can't get it.
It's off the table.
And it was so weird because we were trying desperately to get Alex, our producer, and Lisa to understand the rules as they've been laid out.
Just give up, guys. They're never going to get it. Lisa's just a traffic girl, and Alex is just a whore. Oh, I love whores.
Good point.
Are you guys serious? Like, seriously, freaking, the girls are right. I mean, what? Kevin Bean, first of all, you got Mike agreeing with you. You know you have to be wrong when Mike's agreeing with you.
Wow.
Come on. That alone tells you that you guys are wrong.
Look, that concerned me too, but every once in a while, what's the old expression? A blind squirrel finds a nut, right? So it's occasionally Mike can be right. He stumbles into being correct.
I think the caller's right. I'm going to turn on my own position because Mike is in support of it. I think that's the right call.
Yeah, I do too.
I wanted to know if there was any rooms at the Marriott.
Not
we'll
positive.
Have to get back to you. It's the Palm Desert one. That's the one you need, sir.
But thank you for calling.
You know the Hoff loves to rock.
All right.
He does.
Hey, K-Rock listeners, it's time for your Gossip Girl season finale update.
Is Dave getting gayer than Bean's pigtails?
I don't know. Possibly. Something's going on with him when he talks about Gossip Girl. It is not the Dave that we know.
Hey, K-Rock listeners, it's time for your Gossip Girl season finale update. Georgina Sparks is gone and Blair the Bitch is back. Nate punches his dad. Chuck Bass and Blair a couple. Dan and Serena break up. OMFG. Until next season, XOXO, Listener Dave.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So if the King of X is going to call, again, I would like to suggest K-Rock listener Bob, Tim, anything but Dave.
Yeah.
It's his own name. I mean, it's not very creative.
Listen to what Tyler Durden, who has the funniest website, by the way, WWTDD.com. Listen to what he said about the Gossip Girl. I saw something the other day about Gossip Girl being a huge, unstoppable sensation, the hottest show on television, with the only possible stumbling block being that nobody watches it. The ratings are apparently awful. I have no idea. I have no idea what it's about or who's on it. If a TV show doesn't have anything about Rommel or cheerleader car washes, how good could it really be? And I don't think it has either of those. I think it's a bunch of sexy, rich white kids who do scandalous things. There's a lot of backslabbing and trendy music and big sunglasses, and one of them is secretly gay. Was I close? Actually, who cares? He speaks for me on Gossip Girl on that one.
Says the guy who watches The Hills. Like I say, when something good happens to you, please call and share.
Guess what? I'm in port and in the bathroom, and my looks just like you, Bean.
You have a twin. Wait, you have a triplet. Oh, wait, here comes another one. I just made you another brother.
That is so nice. Whoa. That is great.
That is, that's oversharing.
That's very nice.
Come on.
And the world the world is still shocked and stunned by our amazing performances in the Kevin and Bean team song.
Sure.
Amazing. And this call is about Bean and his pigtails as he wore them to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Dude, Bean, don't cut your hair. Cornrows. With your team song, you with some cornrows? Oh, shit. Bean, doggy dog. Yeah. 6'2" at the date of birth? Oh, yeah.
Bean Doggy Dog.
Yeah.
Let's listen to his verse of the song and see it.
I was 6'2" on my date of birth. I'd rather live on Pluto than planet Earth. B to the E to the A to the N. I consider my bulldog my best friend. At night, I dream of my sweet Zach. If stupid Vanessa would give him back. Lurking deep in the Seattle fog, I furiously type up my gay blog. I'm an Asperger's having 8-foot feet. Everybody at the post office calls me Bean.
Yeah, I don't think you can pull that off.
I don't think so either.
That's just not good.
And don't forget, Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, details on this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert,
nope.
Which is just around the...
I don't believe
what?
So.
Not yet?
No, it's not coming up.
Oh, that's right. It's a Memorial Day weekend. That's what
right.
It is. It's the K-Rock Memorial Day 500, the biggest K-Rock songs of all time by your votes. Once again, this year, we go to you at krock.com and ask you to tell us what your three favorite songs are. Then we count them down in order. But apparently this year... We're kicking it off Friday at 10 o'clock, and we're going to start with the number one song, the most popular K-Rock song of all time, and then count backwards. I don't know why. Sorry.
I believe they've been smoking some of that sticky green in the back.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like it.
And
so,
I want some.
As the numbers get bigger, the hits get smaller is what happens.
That's
starting
correct.
Friday at 10, right after the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So basically, you tune in Friday at 10, you hear the best song.
You're
done for the whole weekend.
Punch out, right?
You don't have to worry about it. We have our intern, Moose, in the studio with us.
Hey, Moose.
Hey. Moose is about 6'11". blonde hair all over the place.
All crazy-ass hair.
Not quite an afro, but you can't tell what he's going for.
He's pretty shaggy.
Yeah. He bangs his head everywhere. He steps on stuff.
His shirts are too short.
Yeah. None of his shirts are long enough to reach his pants.
Hey, I sympathize with you, and I'm shorter than you are, Moose, so I know the pain that you're going through trying to get the clothes that fit. I understand that. Moose, to me, by the way, is a young man who is still finding his way in life. He's a work in progress right now, and he's like a puppy, is how I think of Moose. He's just like a big, gangly puppy who hasn't really grown into his paws yet.
That's
now,
good.
We were talking last week about giving away tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and we were trying to come up with some games, you know, some ways that we could do it that were a little different. And Moose was bold enough to speak up in the meeting, and he said, I have an idea for a game.
Which I respect, by the way, because a lot of interns are a little intimidated in that room, and they're a little shy. They don't want to, you know, put it out there and maybe get their feelings hurt or be embarrassed. But Moose, he's got no shame.
That room is a brutal room. Somebody speaks, everybody else beats the hell out of them.
You take your life into your own
That's
house.
How it works.
Yeah.
So, Moose, what was your idea for a game for the K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets?
Well, my idea was a game that I actually just came up with the name for Hot Steamy Weenie.
Okay.
And basically,
I like it.
You know, when I'm in a car by myself and I'm a desperate, sexually desperate person.
Okay, good.
Anyways, I put words into songs that aren't there. Like, I will sexualize songs.
So change the lyrics to match your sexual
frustration.
Exactly.
Like what? Okay. Like you were telling us you were in the shower and you were singing...
Oh, yeah. Oh, in her Sandman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the idea. This is Moose's idea. He's going to sing you the songs that he sings because he's desperate sexually.
Okay.
And then you have to tell us what the band and what the real song is, right?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's an example of the kind of song.
Back to Beaver, Beaver Land.
Come on, Moose.
Yeah.
See, because he changed...
I had some others, too, but...
Bean, he changed the word to Beaver.
So right. I mean...
No one would ever guess that.
That might be too easy as a contest, but I'm really intrigued, Moose, as to why a guy like you, a young, good-looking guy with a good personality, a big, tall guy, and a lot of women love the tall men, why somebody like you would have trouble with the ladies. I mean, why are you so frustrated? This should be the golden time of your sexual life.
Before we get to that, give us just one more example from the game, and that is the it was an honest mistake.
From the Bravery.
Remember that one from the Bravery?
Oh, God.
Yeah, give us that one.
Oh, God, I swear it wasn't rape.
Yeah.
See, because he's changing the lyrics, Bean. All right. So
that's just not good.
So after we beat him roundly and told him that was a bad idea, then we said, but wait a minute, Moose, you're in a fraternity?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 20. Just about 21.
Okay.
20. Oh, wow.
So then
okay.
Psycho Mike says, you know, you must really not have any game if you're in a fraternity and you're not getting laid. I mean, you must be anti-game. Moose corrects him. What did you tell Psycho Mike?
Oh, I said I had all sorts of game, but...
All sorts of game.
The chicks just don't dig it.
Well, then it's not game.
it's bad game.
It's not game at all. The definition of game is something that is attractive to women, something that works with the other sex. If it's not working, then it's not game.
I could see that.
Yeah. But here's what's funny is he pitched the whole game about how he was going to change the lyrics. Then we were going to have K-Rock listeners call. Mm-hmm. And then we said, well, you know, why aren't you getting laid? He said, I have better game than anyone in my fraternity, did you say?
No, I wouldn't exactly say that, but...
You did say that, though.
But Mike, you think you're as good as?
He says, Alex said, look, you're in a fraternity. You should accidentally fall into a girl every once in a while. And you're like, yeah, because, I mean, I'm pretty much as good with the ladies as anybody in my fraternity. Those were your exact words. That's what got us started on this next venture.
Okay.
Is this a low IQ fraternity? Is it some sort of special sect?
Yes.
What frat are you in?
Eli Manning Pie?
Yeah, exactly. That sounds about right.
You know, I've been sort of sworn to secrecy by my fraternity because they say I'm not a good representation.
I don't know why this is, but...
They
don't want you to mention the letters.
They are smart guys, it turns out. Where do you go to school? How about just tell us that?
I go to Chapman University. Yes, University.
Chapman High, all right.
Chapman High, right.
So you have as good a game as anyone, and apparently you're going to show us that. We're going to take you out with a microphone,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to spit your game at the chicks, and we're going to watch them swoon.
Yeah, we already had a little a tester with the receptionist. I think it went pretty well.
With the receptionist?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Here at K-Rock, the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Went
Were you there?
It went great. It went great, Moose.
What did he say?
He said, hey. Then he looks at me. Wait, what are we doing here? Moose, spit your game. What are you doing? I'm working, obviously, she says. What are you doing after work? I'm going to the gym. Can I go to the gym with you? Maybe. What gym are you a member of? Moose's response, I can make it work.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I looked at Moose and said, how does that make any sense? I don't know.
Does that mean he'll go to her gym or she can go to his gym?
That's what I said. Moose, does that mean that any gym that you go to,
okay, a
I'll
gym's
go?
Gotta cost maybe like, what, $20 to just like go in and screw
for a
around?
Day pass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying
exactly.
It doesn't matter, you can go to a day pass anywhere.
I'll work out with you.
But the words, I can make it work, really seemed hard.
What gym
relevant.
Are you a member of? I can make it work.
You know, it might be a good name of a gym. I should get going.
Yes, you should. You should work on that quickly.
I hate to say this, but I think it's nail the receptionist time.
See, that would have been better. That would have made a lot more sense. Well, look, I think we're out of time, Moose, but I think basically I know you're soon to leave the Kevin and Bean Show. I know you're very near the end of your internship, but
off
I think
to Beaver Land.
Exactly. You're heading off to Beaver Land. I think that we're going to try to help you. And Psycho Mike, I mean, he's got mad game. I think if he goes with you and you guys, you guys work it out there, I think it'd be fun for us. And I think maybe you might learn a little something, develop some skills that'll serve you well later in life.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
20 years old. How long has it been?
Ever? At 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Two years.
Ages of 18 and 20.
So you have
College has been harsh.
You have not gotten any since high school.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. Dude.
Oh.
You poor bastard.
Are you in touch with any of the high school girls that you used to be with?
Not really.
No.
That's not something you can go back and tap?
I could have guessed that.
No.
Yeah, right, that's a drought at that age, Moose.
Yeah.
We're going to – might as well just quit. I mean, that's it.
I know. I've thought about packing it in, just give up.
You're going to go gay?
No.
Oh, I thought you said packing it in. I'm sorry.
Ralph is on vacation. It's Kevin and me taking a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday morning. Lisa, you learned a little something about guys yesterday when we tried to school you on how you order at restaurants.
I learned you guys are idiots.
Oh, you
That's
knew
what I
that.
You're going to well, school you
need,
me.
You need to go back to school then because you didn't get the right message. But you're about to learn something else about guys. All guys are sad when they hear that a hot celebrity chick gets married. And I don't know. I can't explain it. I saw yesterday that Jessica Alba got married. Just a little Beverly Hills courthouse ceremony, 40 40 minutes, her and Cash Warren, they're having a baby together, they got married, and a little part of me died inside. And it's not that I realistically think that Jessica Alba is mine. It just, it somehow hurts a little bit that she married someone else. You guys are with me, right? You felt the same way.
It's so weird.
It's absurd, first
It's crazy.
Of all.
I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm just saying that you look at that and you go, aw, come on.
And we all understand if there were a list of how it would go in order, yeah. if she were to move on to the next guy,
right?
You know, we wouldn't be on the first 5,000 pages.
Right.
Right. We get that.
But it's still not right.
It just... It feels like a slap in the face that Jessica Alba married somebody else. Even though I don't know her, she doesn't know me, I still feel a little slighted. I just wanted to say.
She belongs to us all.
That's how I feel.
Nice.
But anyway, so she and Cash did get married. And I don't know how you ever take a guy named Cash seriously. I don't know how you ever wake up in the morning and go, hey, Cash, and don't just in the back of your mind think, what a tool.
What am I doing? Charles Barkley finally sent a check. To try and cover some of his gambling losses at the Wynn Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas.
How much did he lose?
This has been a great story. It's been hilarious.
The Wynn went into court to sue him for the money. He owed them $440,000 in gambling losses.
Do they just front money to famous people?
I guess you can go in and say, I'm Charles Barkley, and then they go,
here's some credit.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, but they figure he's good for it.
Okay, so he ran up a $440,000 bill, and apparently it's been a long time. They've contacted him. He hasn't paid. Mm-hmm. So they went to court, and this is increasingly happening, where they, you know, people owe $1 million or $200,000, and they'll take him to court and try to collect it.
Oh, my God.
Charles Barkley, he found out about it earlier this week, and he said all they had to do was ask me. I mean, apparently he's got the money. Apparently this isn't one of these deals where he was avoiding it because he couldn't afford it. He had the money available to pay it. He claims that he never got word that they asked for it, but he can't have forgotten that he lost $440,000 at the Wynn, right? He knew he owed the money, even if technically he didn't get the message that they called looking for collection.
Of course he did. He sat there and lost it.
He sat there and lost it, right.
According to a Wynn rep, the check had been sent to the Las Vegas DA's office for processing, and they're not saying if it covers the whole thing or not, but...
Wow.
He sent him a check.
I don't remember what the time frame was, but I heard the other day that he's down over $10 million in gambling in the last few years.
Wow.
And he admits that he's got a problem and now says that he's going to lay off gambling for a while.
We'll see how that goes.
But he is clearly, I mean, he clearly enjoys it, that's for sure. So,
well, clearly is bad at it.
I would think a competitor like that. Now, once you leave the NBA, what do you do for excitement? I would imagine that would really be a draw.
Yeah.
But as much as you enjoy gambling, Kevin, you're probably the best example on the show of somebody who loves to, you know, play cards and go to Vegas and stuff like that. If you lost big every single time, wouldn't you lose your taste for it?
Yeah, what's the fun? I can't lose, $200 is my limit. If I lose $200, I'm really bummed.
Yeah.
And I just go do something else. I go to a strip club and spend like $2,000. But I'm just saying... Yeah, I would totally bum me out.
And this guy, I mean, I don't know what his income is now, but you can't keep going through $10 million and not run out of money.
No, you can't. You can't. Anyway, I love Charles Barkley. He is hilarious, and we'll be seeing a lot more of those cell phone commercials, apparently, as he continues to try to raise money to gamble. A couple more quick stories, then we got Joe Rogan coming in after the news. I love Natalie Portman. I think we all do. She's a beautiful, very talented actress, but she may be a little bit dim. She says, look, I don't mind getting naked for movies if it makes sense for the part, but she says she can't understand why people are so entranced with her body. So she's saying, I don't mind getting naked, but why are people interested in seeing it? Apparently it really ticked her off. You know, she did that sort of nude scene for that Hotel Chevalier last year.
Right.
It ticked her off that those pictures got out from the movie, stills from the movie, and ended up on like websites, and that, you know, people were looking at it outside of the context of the part.
There's no way a female celebrity could have seen that coming.
Yeah. Does she not understand the world?
I think
Does she not understand that there that Moose is out there at 20 who hasn't seen a pair of boobs in 2 years? He's looking at anything.
Maybe she just doesn't see herself as hot. Like.
She probably doesn't. I mean, she's not very voluptuous. She doesn't have big breasts. So I'm sure she's thinking, seriously, there's a million other women on the web that are hot with big boobs.
Right.
Why are you bothering with me?
Because you can never have too many.
That's we right. Women There's don't no understand number. That.
A million and one,
we
million
don't
and
get
two,
that.
Fine. Keep
They're
going.
Just as good. And Natalie Portman is a beautiful, beautiful girl, A, so you'd want to see her naked anyway, and B, she's a celebrity, so you get the thrill of seeing the celebrity boob, too. But I just, she sounds naive when she says, I don't understand why people want to see me naked, because she's a girl and she's Natalie Portman.
Just drop it.
And finally, tonight is the night that Kevin and millions of other Americans have been waiting for, because a champion will be crowned on American Idol.
Thank God this show is over.
It will be over. I'm kind of with you. And Kevin, I know you've got some highlights that you brought in later on today from the show.
You sons of bitches for making this show number one.
But Paula Abdul was on fire last night, and I wanted to give her some credit because I think she I don't want to say she was smashed because we'll get sued. She looked like she was having a lot of trouble concentrating, and I got the impression from some of her critiques that she was just looking for hints for something in whatever song the contestant was singing. That's how she was going to form her critique after the performance. For instance, one of the contestants, I guess it was David Cook, the good one, he sang, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. From U2. That was the first song he sang on the show last night. Here's what Paula had to say when he came off stage.
Well, you may not have found what you're looking for, but we have found David Cook. And we need to look no further.
Thank you.
David Cook has arrived. Amen, amen. And you're in great voice tonight.
She sounds bad, right?
Yeah.
Well, then immediately after that, David Archuleta, the bad one, sang Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Here's what Paula had to say to him.
It's never going to go down on you because you bring out so much sunshine and everyone throughout the whole world through your singing.
F you all for watching this show.
She's not saying anything.
No, of course not. And she's just gaga over both of them. Everybody is beautiful and wonderful and talented and great. I mean, she's offering zero constructive advice, zero critique. She's just in love with the show, I guess, in love with her role on the show. But I crack up when I hear her go, the sun is never going to go down on you because of your talent.
You people.
She's best.
American Idol, the number one and two shows last week.
Oh, of course.
As usual, exactly. How about Judge Reinhold from the Beverly Hills Cop movies? He is 51 years old today to lead off our celebrity birthday list. Al Franken, former comedian, SNL writer. He is running for the Senate in his home state of Minnesota right now. He turns 57 today. Richard Hatch, the good one, the guy who played Apollo on Battlestar Galactica, is 63, not the bad naked one from Survivor. We don't know how old he is. How about Lisa Edelstein from House? She turns 40 today. Still looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Mr. T.
Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Talking earlier today that we were just in love with Mr. T when he stopped by the K-Rock studio a few months ago.
Don't make me mad.
Lisa wants to marry him. I want to vote for him. I mean, the dude is just an inspiration to us all. He's awesome, man. And he looks great because black don't crack. Mr. T is 56 today, and that's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Shut up, fool!
This life is more than just a read-through.
It's magic.
What? What's he doing?
I have no idea what's going on. Sorry.
You're under the desk. You're under the desk.
I was under the desk.
Yes. Where'd you go?
I was under the desk. Mike had me under there. Oh, no. My headphones were connected to the internet.
Oh,
because I was watching the Mr. Clown
in the wrong place.
Right, okay. So I heard like clown music when I turned on the microphones. I didn't know if the song was over. What was going on?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the well-oiled machine that is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Laker playoffs tonight versus San Antonio. Lamar Odom joins us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joe Rogan is supposed to be here, but apparently is running late. Mm-hmm. So we'll have him in a few minutes. But first, former producer Lightning, who is still with the show, please no one misunderstand, he was promoted and now is in charge of a lot of the content that you see on the excellentkrock.com, which is a website that we send you to frequently because there's new stuff being put up all the time. Part of that is thanks to Lightning. He is Lightning Scorsese, we like to call him, because he videos everything. You walk into his office to have a conversation with him, he says, oh, hold on, I'm not filming yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy how he is with his camera. It's attached to his eye. But you took the camera home this weekend. Lightning had a very special event happening at your house, am I right?
Yeah, took it to the mother-in-law's house. She's got the bigger backyard, and we...
The party was at your wife's parents' house?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
How old's your son?
He turned 3.
Who was the clown at your 3-year-old birthday party?
Mr. Clown... The Armenian comedian.
Oh, my God.
So for those of you that haven't seen this, the Armenian comedian does cut hair. He also claims he's the Armenian comedian, but he's also Mr. Clown, where he puts this horrible clown makeup on.
I don't know what it is. I know some people are creeped out by clowns anyway. I know that is a pretty common fear that people have. There's something about clowns that are creepy. But I don't care. If you like clowns, Mr. Clown is scary. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but he is Gacy-esque.
You have to see the video. The video is up. Where is it?
On the Kevin and Bean video page.
Kevin and Bean, click on video, and you have to see the video of him because words cannot describe how troubling he is dressed as a clown.
You know what he reminds me of? Honestly, Heath Ledger, the posters that you've seen for the new Batman movie. He's got that, like, kind of the smeary kind of makeup where he doesn't look like a happy, fun clown. He looks like the kind of clown that comes and knifes you while you sleep.
Only scarier. He looks scarier than Heath Ledger.
And I don't know what kind of makeup it is. It's paint. It's some kind of, like, just industrial paint he's applied over his beard and everything. And
oh, my God.
You can tell he does his own makeup. So his eyes, all his guy liner just, like, all over the place. He's got thick makeup everywhere.
Wow.
He's going to kill.
Yeah.
He looks like he was fired from the Insane Clown Posse for being too creepy.
So you go to the in-laws' house and bring Sam as Mr. Clown.
Yes.
To their grandkids' birthday party.
Yes.
Okay, so Sam gets out of the car. Lightning meets him at the car.
This is going to be the greatest Armenian spiced-up party you ever have.
Are you stoned?
Oh, yeah.
Sam does not leave the house in the morning unless he's stoned. We all know that.
It's going to be the greatest Armenian spiced up party you've ever had.
He pulls up, and Mike's seen his beat up Corolla or whatever it is. He rolls up, and he's in costume, but without the wig and whatnot. So it's just the face paint and some kind of, like, shirt thing he's got on. And the car just reeks of smoke.
And why is he holding a video camera? Why was he videoing? Why was he videoing?
He wanted me to tape the whole thing. And I said, Sam, there's a camera on my head right now.
Right. I'm filming you right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know.
So then Lightning, who is a very astute businessman and has not asked Sam until this moment how expensive he is for the birthday party, now decides it's time to ask.
How expensive are you?
For the general, I charge $100 an hour.
$100 an hour?
Yeah. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say he has never, ever received $100 an hour.
I hope not.
Not once.
You can get a hooker for less than that. You're not wasting it on Mr. Clown.
Yeah.
You're like an attorney. Holy sh**.
But.
You better be good.
Right now, the things are up, maybe $200.
$200? What about free and a bag of weed?
For you, yes.
All right, so there you go. Free and a bag of weed.
He was going to give you a break. He was going to be like, for you, though. Well, it's like $50
for you, double.
Hour. Yeah, he doubled it.
You see the video, and you can tell how he gets actually paid in the end.
Yeah.
Lightning, the little kid that was scared to death of Mr. Clown, crying, grabbing onto his mom, that was one of your kid's friends?
Yeah, one of my wife's best friend's son. Yeah.
Excellent. He must be very popular in that family.
That wasn't good.
What was the reaction from the kids when the clown walks out? Were they happy to see him, or was it a little unsettling for them the way it was for the adults?
You know, some got it, and some didn't. You know, there were a couple of kids that ran to their parents and clinged onto their leg.
I'm telling you right now, not one of the kids that was at this party will ever like clowns. And one will ever, they won't know. They're only three. They don't remember. You know, they're going to be 18. They're going to go, boy, I hate clowns. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. He came out and he sang a happy birthday to Quinn, my three-year-old. And then he immediately went into the Armenian national anthem.
That's when the kids started crying.
Yeah. That was a little ugly. I had to apologize for about 45 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, you didn't have any Turkish kids at your party, I hope.
No.
Sam would beat them up.
That could have been ugly.
All right, so your son asks for a balloon animal, and Mr. Clown is very happy to give him
only a sword.
Only a sword. Ha, ha, hee,
ha. That's him making a sword.
Yeah, he's doing a sword, and he's doing the jousting, you know, kind of at you, and this is my six-year-old, and starts pulling back and further back and further back and just scared the crap out of him. Yeah.
Now, my reaction at that point would be to go, well, this clearly isn't working. Let's send you on your way, Sam.
Yeah.
No, I needed more.
Okay, so Sam now standing up in front of the kids and decides to start into his Michael Jackson chunk.
Oh, no. No.
Because 3- and 5-year-olds, they all understand the Michael Jackson story.
No, I will say, you hope they don't.
Yeah, no.
I will say that I'm laughing now. I actually wasn't laughing at that time.
Oh, you think?
No, I wasn't.
Here's the first joke.
Why Michael Jackson says never land on his premises? Because once you get there with your family, don't go back there.
Dude, are you serious?
That's one of the party guests, one of their kids' parents. But here's the thing. The kids don't know who Michael Jackson is, and thank God they don't know what the story is. But I imagine it made a lot of the adults at the party, particularly those who've never heard of Mr. Clown, really uncomfortable and kind of pissed off, I would think, right?
You know, not so much that. It was the Obama banana jokes.
What's that?
Obama jokes, that he's got a whole string of Obama jokes.
Is it an Obama chunk?
And I had like 3 black couples there. Oh. So that was not
well, I
good.
Hope they just so beat the hell out of him.
I
that's the right thing.
Yeah.
Wait, Obama banana, meaning he's doing Obama is a monkey jokes?
Yes.
That's
oh,
what he's doing
kidding?
At the kids' party?
I didn't even get that. Yes.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, lightning.
Everyone should have beaten the hell out of him.
Come on.
So I jumped over the this little kid's table, and I go, move on to the Michael Jackson stuff. And then show,
you requested the Michael Jackson
yeah.
stuff.
I was in a panic.
Lightning is requesting the jokes about a pedophile.
Who knew that that would be safer than the Obama jokes, though?
I'm standing next to a black guy, and he starts in on his Obama banana. I'm like, no, and he gets through one and a half, two jokes,
no.
And I hop over. I'm like, move on. Michael Jackson. I just spit it out. It's the only thing that, you know, top of mind.
He is so stupid. But how do you say, just move on to anything else? You don't ask for pedophilia.
Right.
What about Barney jokes or something that the kids would get? I mean, what about singing little songs? What about playing little games? What is he doing?
Hang on. He's still doing his Michael Jackson chunk.
How come Michael Jackson passes so tight? Because it's not his.
Okay, so that joke, in case you couldn't hear, how come Michael Jackson's pants are so tight? Because they're not his.
You know,
right. The joke there is that there are some little kids that he, yeah.
I have to say, that's almost a joke.
Well, you can
You
can see how a comedian could take that and perhaps make that a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But from him, I mean, we're just used to not being even able to tell what he's talking about. But unfortunately, he's very clear when he's talking about the pedophilia jokes with the little 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's clear.
Yeah. You want the cash or you want that?
All right. So now it's time to pay up.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Sam really doesn't want cash.
Cash comes around easy, so this is hard to get. I'd rather pick this.
Nice doing business with you, Mr. Clown.
Bag of weed.
Yeah. A bag of oregano, of course.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Looked like weed.
Oregano.
Couldn't have been.
Right.
He won't be invited back, though, right, Light? I mean, that's it.
No, that was it.
Look, I know that you find him funny, and we find him funny. Yeah. I get that. But those are your kids, and those are your friends, and their kids,
in-laws.
And your in-laws, and...
The problem
looking
is,
back on it, I'm grateful that you did that, mm-hmm. but you should be taken away. I mean, you know, Quinn should be living with Brittany right now. Yeah. That's how bad that is. That's a bad decision.
Yeah. Made for a good video, though.
Yes, it did.
The video is very funny, and it's in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page at KRock.com. You have to check it out, because we cannot do justice to how frightening
did
the makeup
I tell
is.
You
and all
much...
you had to do was sacrifice both kids.
Did I tell you how much food he ate?
No.
He just ate and ate and ate and ate.
How do you expect us to find that interesting after the Obama chunk and the Michael Jackson?
The pedophile jokes.
Hey, guys,
and the weed.
I'll tell you what, he ate a lot.
But he was just
right,
such
but
a
that's
dick.
Not... Well, what do you think? Of course he's a dick. You're a moron.
Our friend Joe Rogan has arrived. We'll have him in here in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, we continue to give away tickets to kick off Summer in Style with our friend Stryker at Universal this Friday morning, ahead of the Memorial Day weekend. Congratulations to Jason Verholtz from Rancho Cucamonga and Gabrielle Perales from Linwood for listening this morning and for winning their tickets. Real quick, let's take a look into the email bag. What are people talking about today, Kevin?
Dear Kevin, Bean, and Lisa, each week me and my fellow listeners have been listening to Beer Mug profess his amazing eating abilities only to fail miserably during the actual eating challenges time and time again.
Yeah.
That is true. He never lacks in confidence, but he certainly lacks in ability.
I believe it's because he doesn't have the proper motivation to actually try and break the records. It's like the contestants on Fear Factor. They would only eat pig intestines because $50,000 was dangled in front of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it would be the same thing if you dangled the carrot in front of Beer Mug. I think you should award Beer Mug $100 if he finishes half the challenge, $200 if he finishes three-quarters of the challenge, and if by some miracle he actually breaks a world record, $500.
Wow.
And to give him some extra incentive, if he doesn't finish half the challenge, in other words, if he fails to eat 40 chicken nuggets when the record is 80, then not only does he not get any money, but he has to eat a cow tongue sandwich or eat lamb eyeballs or drink a glass of toilet water.
Oh.
Or even worse, Mug would have to suck Doc's toes for a full minute.
Oh!
So that's a great idea. Thank you, Hector.
Whatever money we put out for Mug as incentive is the safest money that's ever been wagered. I'll tell you that. Here's an email about the conversation we had yesterday with our little friend Dave, the King of Mexico, who thinks Angelina Jolie is not only not the most beautiful woman in the world, but is not even attractive. To Dave, Angelina Jolie is, what did he give her, a 4?
Yep.
Yep.
A 5? Well, it was a 4, right?
He would barely move up to a 5, I think, at the end after we beat him around.
Brian writes in, I got to agree with Dave that Angelina Jolie is at most about a 4 for her face, a 1 for her rack. Otherwise, her body sucks. She's got no curves, no ass, no hips, stick legs. Her body is shaped like a 60-year-old marathon running man. Someone like Gisele Bündchen is worth staring at. She's a 10. No comparison. I don't know what's going on with these people. I don't.
Wow.
That is insane.
I guess there's no position so crazy that you can't find someone to agree with you, I guess, is what we're learning from that.
Although everyone seems to agree on Bean's Pigtails from the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
They were a big hit. You're right.
Lady D writes, my deepest condolences to all the Kevin and Bean Morning staff for dealing with Bean. Jesus Christ, I just saw the pictures from Weenie Roast. And all I have to say is, a one-man gay pride parade. Bean, you are beyond gay. You're gayer than every gay man in West Hollywood and the Castro Valley combined. You should be dragged from your gay little Hobbit Island and mocked in public for that horrible, horrible hairstyle. God should smite you off the face of this planet. The rest of you are cool. Bean, die. With love and sympathy, Lady D.
Nice.
I can tell she's undecided. By the way, there's practically a slideshow of my pigtails at the Weenie Roast that Dave put up at KRock.com in the Kevin and Bean section if you want to check it out. And finally, Pete writes in, Dear Bear, this is in reference to the conversation we had yesterday where Lisa, for some reason, at this stage of her life, had never heard that the rules exist when you go to a restaurant. You can't order the same thing that anyone else at the table ordered.
Yeah,
for some reason, she's pretending like that's not the
truth.
The
only one who's never heard that, yes.
Dear Bear, this email begins. I dabble in theoretical physics, and as best I can tell, the universe will not allow certain things to happen without self-correcting. Well, I've run the numbers, and I can tell you that no person dies when Lisa orders the same thing as a meal at a meal that someone else does. But the numbers do suggest that the universe corrects itself slowly by killing off something smaller, about the size of a puppy.
I knew they were going to say that.
Just look at the numbers. And then he wrote this unbelievably complex formula with all sorts of things I don't understand and numbers and letters and draws a conclusion at the end. So now you can tell, Lisa, it's not just a game that men play. It's actually science. Why don't you advise Lisa Vic May that she'll just start ordering a litter of puppies with a fries and a side of coleslaw and save the universe the trouble? And rest assured, the universe has saved her a seat on the train to hell. So says Pete. So, Lisa, you can keep doing what you're doing if you think it's best to go ahead and order what somebody else does. But just remember, somewhere, puppies die.
Science is bogus.
Oh, wait.
Well, they do have an hour to fill.
Is this the biggest? Too much? Is this the too biggest showdown in showbiz history? Really? F all of you. If you watched this show last night, and after that,
You kept watching. You blow.
The only way to watch this show is to TiVo it or tape it.
And then delete it before anything happens.
No, but if you're going to watch it, fast forward through all this crap. Every week you could watch this show in 15 minutes.
Okay, so this crap started with that minute and a half comedy. But okay. At least they were... Oh, wait, they weren't finished with it. They brought out Jim Lampley.
Oh, geez.
Who does play-by-play for fights. And he gave his thoughts on how to win a fight. And then Ryan Seacrest, in all his glory, was just really pouring it on. F you all. F you for this. F you for Jim Lampley. F you for watching American Idol.
Well, goodness knows there's a huge crossover between American Idol and fight audiences.
Two men with one name and one desire.
Mike, pick left channel so we can hear it, if you don't
mind. Yeah, what's going on there,
dude? Just pick left channel.
And hit the button.
The left channel. There we go.
Their prize, a heavyweight title reserved only for superstars.
Okay, now, you could argue that Michael Buffer is joking.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a funny way to start the show, a competition. How serious does Ryan sound?
Well, Ryan is the king of the hype on this show. I will grant you that. And when he talks about an honor reserved only for superstars,
right.
who remembers who won American Idol last year? I'll tell you what, Taylor Hicks doesn't even have a record contract today. It's hardly the fast track to superstardom, guaranteed.
Dude.
I'll agree with you on that.
F you people.
Tonight, they go head-to-head for three rounds with the eyes of the nation fixed on their every move.
Okay, shut up. Shut up! Stop talking!
Their ring, a 7,000-seat theater in the neon glow of downtown Los Angeles. In one corner, a 17-year-old phenom.
Really, we didn't get the introduction a minute ago with a 5-minute Michael Buffer introduction? Seriously, now Ryan has to do it.
The foothills of Salt Lake City.
A strategy for this match is just to keep on doing what I've been doing. Make sure I give it all I can for this last night.
And who's that twink?
That's the 17-year-old.
Why are you people watching this BS?
That's the kid. That's the David Archuleta kid, the Disney kid.
But he's that kid.
He's going to leave it all in the ring, man.
Other corner.
He's going to give it all he's got.
Both.
Let it go, Mike.
Come in strong. Both come in undefeated.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, yeah, they're undefeated because they didn't get kicked off the show yet. F you.
But only one can claim victory.
No matter how bright the lights.
Oh, back to Jim Lampley. Good.
No matter how big the crowd, you must keep your nerve. Winning is about being able to trust your instincts.
Are they going to let him back on HBO next time there's a fight?
They should
not. Or is he going to be banned for life?
Dude, you did that American Idol thing. We'll find another.
What is it going to take to win this season?
Now Ryan is asking the judges what it takes to win in this kind of a matchup.
I think tonight you guys both have to leave everything on the floor. You got to bring everything that you got tonight. This
Randy, the human cliche machine.
Right.
Got to leave it on the floor. F you, people.
It's a duel, Ryan, for the king of the Nokia, baby.
Drop the ropes. Leave it on the floor.
Drop it, dude. Drop it hard tonight.
I don't know what that means. Does that mean sing really well? What does that mean?
I think at this point, everybody, even the most casual viewer, knows what it takes to win, and that's you just have to get more telephone votes than the other guy.
But
I mean, that's what it takes to win.
You kept watching this show after all of the clips I'm playing, didn't you, Bean?
I stuck with the whole hour.
And Paula, words of advice before we start?
You're at the Nokia Theater where everybody is loving you, so enjoy it, soak it all up, and may the best man win.
I gotta tell you, people, I hate you all.
It's over tonight, dude. This is it till January. Tonight's the last night that it's gone.
I hope
okay?
It's 2 hours tonight. I hope you people watch every excruciating second of it.
I think it's just 160 minutes for a 1 second piece of content, which is who wins, by the way.
That's my point. You can't keep using my points and then watch.
I know it doesn't make any sense.
Damn it. Hey, did you guys see American Idol last night? It's pretty good. It's a good show.
Joe Rogan is standing by in the next room. We'll make this showbiz beat in for the vacationing Ralph Garman kind of quick so we can get right to Joe. A couple things that must be mentioned. First of all, the R. Kelly trial is going on. Where's the courtroom? Where's the court TV cameras for this trial?
No kidding. This is the one I want to see. This is the one that he managed to put off for something like 5 or 6 years. And in case you have forgotten what the story is, he is being charged with having sex with an underage girl. And there's a video of it. So it seems like it'd be pretty open and close. Is that the dude on the video? Yes. Is that the girl on the video? Yes. Guilty, right? Well, R. Kelly claims it's not him. The girl claims it's not her. And now the defense is suggesting that the girl is a prostitute that the guy in the video is paying to have sex. They're trying to suggest it has nothing to do with whatever the reality is of the situation, which is just R. Kelly getting freaky with his own goddaughter.
His own goddaughter. This
that is
a
gross.
This is a dude in his band who had a kid. R. Kelly is the godfather.
Yeah.
And that's right.
Did the sex tape with her. That is so effed up. And gee, I wonder how it is that she's saying it wasn't her now.
Mm-hmm.
What could that be?
It is interesting. Part of the defense is it's not him. Part of the defense is clearly that's some guy paying a prostitute, so that doesn't have anything to do with us. And part of the new defense is that it can't be R. Kelly because he's got a mole that he's had on his back his whole life, and you can see the video. This guy in the video doesn't have a mole. Which, by the way, would seem to be the kind of identifying characteristic that might work, but I wouldn't put it past R. Kelly, a guy with the resources and the fame and the money that he has, to go out and find himself a doctor to put a mole on. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if somehow he has developed a mole that now can be used as an alibi. He certainly has had enough years off to think about how he's going to get out of this one, right?
They have mole reassignment surgeries.
Well, maybe they do. Put them on. Maybe they do. So R. Kelly is thing one, and thing two is, if you haven't heard the sad, sad news, apparently Jessica Alba is now Mrs. Cash Warren. So that
you guys are just going to have to move on.
Well, it's a little bit of a heartbreaker.
Sure, I understand.
It's going to be hard for her to move on, you know? I don't know what that means when I said it. Us Weekly has a story. They're going to tell you why Amy Winehouse is so slim.
Slim is what they're saying?
Us Weekly has a picture of the singer in shorts and her bra snacking on lettuce in a bag. Yep, that's how she does it. Lettuce.
I somehow don't think that's lettuce either, by the way. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of drug looks like fruit that you would eat, but I guarantee it's not lettuce. Lettuce seems too healthy for her. I don't think she puts anything in her body unless it's going to make her closer to death, which is what she wants. And two more quick stories, then we'll get to Joe Rogan. First, Donald Trump in an interview. I take it back. Not in an interview. In his blog. Apparently, Donald Trump now has a blog.
Great.
Where he wrote recently about his frustration with the trend of people bringing their kids to work with them. He's got no time for this, bringing your daughter to work and bring your son to work.
Isn't that just one day a year?
That's the only one I know of, unless he's got something else going on at his companies that's annoying him. But he questions the professionalism of any company that would allow kids to come to work. Maybe he's talking about some of these offices now that are offering daycare, for instance. You know, they're offering a place to put your kids when you bring them in. He just thinks it's a distraction and it's no good and it's never going to happen in the Trump organization, is what Donald Trump says.
All right.
Because he is the ideal boss that everyone wants to work for, sure. So we certainly looked at him. And finally, how about Carmen Electra, who, God bless her, by the way, for a woman of limited talent, has certainly made herself into a name brand. She certainly has done pretty well for herself.
She has.
She tells Fox News that she's very excited about a new product that she is now selling, her Carmen Electra stripping pole.
All right.
She's got her own home stripping enterprise where you can buy a pole. She says it's great. You can put it in your living room, your bedroom. You can work out to her videos, or you can use it with or without your husband or boyfriend watching. God bless her. I'm just saying, she's definitely headed in the right direction. I think she's doing a lot of good things for America. So
I'd just like to bring up that Lisa May took the pole dancing class.
I did. Yeah. Actually, I can't imagine. Her pole should be different from anybody else's if you're going to buy her pole, because you can buy poles.
Yes. Yeah. What is she doing
saying?
To make it?
Yeah.
What is she doing to make it the Carmen Electra pole, is what you're
special.
Saying?
Special, yes. That's what I'm saying.
I don't
know. Okay. With the pole.
I don't know.
We need to find out.
I'm trying to thumb through all the dirty jokes that were coming to my head when you were saying that whole sentence.
Probably best to pass. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about the great Mr. T from the A-Team? 56 years old today. Way to go, T. Well, I do too. Richard Hatch, not the naked one from Survivor, but the good one who played Apollo in the original Battlestar Galactica. He is 63 years old today. Actress Lisa Edelstein from House turns 40 today. Speaking of stripper poles, please watch the episode from 2 weeks ago if you want to see some great action there. And actor Judge Reinhold, 51, and potential Senate candidate from the great state of Minnesota, former SNL and comedy writer and performer Al Franken. He wrote Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot, one of Kevin's favorite books of all time.
I got to tell you, more fat jokes than any book in history.
Yeah.
Made me
good
laugh.
Good times right there. Al is 57. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
What's up? This is Joe Rogan. Rogan. Brokeback Mountain was the funniest movie I have ever seen in my entire life. That doesn't make me a bad person. I'm sorry. You're wrong. They were outside. It was broad daylight. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They grabbed each other. They went to kiss. And I just went, no, that can't happen.
What Ultimate Fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting. Ground game. Kicking. Punching. Elbows. Submissions.
We're about to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video.
I can't watch that.
Where are those girls? We have to find them.
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
Got all day without hearing any reference to that video. I got news for you.
That's a long intro. That makes I feel like I have too many expectations of myself after that.
It's
long
not that you have expectations; it's that everyone else has expectations of you.
Exactly.
The audience is already disappointed. You haven't been funny yet, Joe. I got news for you. There.
I'm disappointed too.
There is no limit, by the way, to how foul these internet viral videos are. Like that particular one, whose name I will not even speak. And Joe, you're so right. When that one happened, it seemed like because that one went over big, the floodgates were open, and there's zero off limits of what people will do to each other.
Yeah, it's crazy now. It used to be really hard to get that Mr. Hands video. Mr. Hands was the guy who in Seattle who had sex with horses, and he wound up dying.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a video of it
the guy
online.
Who died.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's actually not the moment, the one that killed him.
Right.
That's how it's labeled, but I found out after the fact that he had done this like 100 times.
Okay, right. Hold on. That's right. Hold on one second.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Good advice.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Yeah,
the following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
But you're right. Mr. Hands is like on the front page of Yahoo now.
Yeah.
It's just like that's nothing anymore.
It's so easy to find now. I pulled it off my own website because I actually put it up when I found it. I was like, this is hilarious. I can't believe this is real. And I was told that it's like really dangerous. Like that's like bestiality. That's like real porn. Like you can go to jail for that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like,
it's illegal.
Okay.
Right.
I didn't make it.
Right.
How long is just having it?
How long is it on your site before you realize that it's bad?
Like a day.
A day. Okay.
Yeah, one day.
But so. Joe, you're a student
allegedly
of the human.
On my site. Not really.
Allegedly.
It was never.
Of course,
really,
right. Of course not. You're, and we haven't seen the R. Kelly video either, by the way, with the underage
That's
girl.
Hard to find, surprisingly.
It is.
It is now.
You've
it wasn't
though,
at the
right?
time.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Right.
Yeah. It looks a lot like him.
It sure does. Joe, you're a student of the human condition. Here's my question for you. What is it that makes, for instance, the girls in the video that we referenced in Europe, what is it that makes those people want to do those things? They don't do it because they enjoy it.
Mostly meth.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Need a fix?
They need something, man. They need something real bad. They're willing to eat, even though it's fake poo. It's still,
of course,
it's not really. That was the story behind that video. Supposedly, is that this guy uses a chocolate mousse instead of poo.
You know,
for the Two Girls, One Cup. If you haven't seen it, what it is two girls.
Oh,
come on, Joe.
I can't say it. You're right.
Let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
Fake chocolate rain, though, not real chocolate rain.
There are things you can't really dance around.
Yeah. I love that Joe is the investigative reporter who gets to the truth in all of these videos and finds out who the people are and what the substances are.
I find it fascinating, so I always want to read more about it. But I want to know, you know, what happened next week with two girls that were in Two Girls, One Cop. I want to follow them.
But your meth theory, Joe, this is fascinating to me. So you're telling me, for instance, Psycho Mike is crazy about the fish smuggling that's going on right now. That's his new thing. He can't stop talking about the fish.
Is that like Japanese eels? Yeah. Japanese eel girl?
100%.
I've seen that.
Warning, some of what you're about to see and hear is explicit.
What is wrong with Japanese people? That's all there is to it.
So what you're saying, though, Joe, is... Of course not.
Some of them make really good sushi, and they're cool.
But look what they do with the sushi afterwards. But what you're saying is that there are girls out there who are strung out on meth or something.
It's
gotta be. They actually get to a point, though, where somebody says to them, I will fix your drug habit. I will give you meth if you will do this with these goldfish.
Or
and they do it.
Yeah, they could be really hurting for drugs. But I think drugs is the most likely candidate. Because, I mean, how hungry do you have to be? I mean, you can get a job somewhere and feed yourself or go to a mission. Or whatever. If you find some food, you need drugs to want to do something like that.
The desperation level has to be way high.
Yeah, it's got to be through the roof.
What about the Pain Olympics? Is that real?
Oh, it's totally real.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Yeah, the BME Pain Olympics.
I showed Lisa the BME Pain Olympics, and
listen to me, people, don't find that.
Yeah, that's hard.
The following is rated MALV.
It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
She's convinced it's fake.
Oh,
I'm convinced it's
no,
real.
No, it's 100% real. I know, but the guy owns the site.
But this isn't
how
about
do you
drugs
know everybody?
And why would people online do those things?
Joe is online 24/7.
Why they would do those things. They
I mean,
hate themselves.
I'm fascinated.
Damage.
I'm plugged in. Yeah, no, they're not just
they're
doing permanent damage. They're cutting themselves off.
Yes.
It's very common. Yeah.
It can't be very common.
No, it's not very common as far as in, like, if you take 6 billion people, there's thousands of them, is what I'm saying.
Wow. That will cut
it's
off
much
a limb?
More. Yes, they cut off their own fingers. They make videos of it.
There's, like,
there's a guy who
50.
Cut off his own hand. He made a homemade guillotine and cut off his own hand as, like, a form of body modification. Some dudes are they're nuts.
God.
I'm not kidding. They,
okay, what's that guy's motivation then? What's
who
his
knows,
deal?
Man? He's why do people get like their ears stretched? I mean, that's like a very minor form of it.
Yeah, that's
what,
true.
You know,
that
what
giant
is,
black
right.
ring thing
I mean,
inside
they're
it.
They're into it, and it's no big deal. You like it? That's cool. But like, what are you doing? What is that? What's going on? You're
and
stretching
your ears
skin
gonna
out.
Look you, like when you're 60.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I get it. If you like it, okay, no big deal. I just want to know why you like it.
Yeah, that is weird.
They like to chop hands off, chop tips of fingers, show you, chunk, cut it off, point it at the camera. You're like, what? Like, this dude tied off his finger with a rubber band. I'm like, no, he's not. Chop the tip of his finger right off with a knife. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
You have a very limited career with that, though.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
You can only do that a few times. A
couple times and you're out.
Do they stitch him back on afterward? Like, if a guy chops his hand off?
Is
he,
no.
Does he have a
guy,
team of
it looked
doctors
like he
standing
cut right
by?
Through the joint and that was a wrap.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
I
have a
think
team of doctors that have agreed to this.
Yeah.
All right, get the finger. Let's put it back on.
That was completely insane.
Cuts it off again.
And you gotta think, so, what would he do to me? He cuts his own fingers off.
I don't, what, I don't understand
that guy's out there.
This.
What's his, you know, value of human life? What's the level?
What went wrong in his upbringing,
just
Joe,
so
for that
variables
to be cool?
So many variables. You know, that's the thing is, you know, developing a human being from the cradle to adulthood. What a task.
Yeah.
And some people are just nuts and they suck at it and they make.
Well, thank God
kids.
You're not a father. That's all I have to
what?
Say because clearly that would be
and
that,
the internet
that kid would have trouble.
And the internet shows them all to us. Thank God for the internet.
That's right. What's
thank
unbelievable.
I guess break. Joe's right that this stuff has probably always been going on, but now it's available at your fingertips day or night, 24/7, everywhere in the world.
I think there's an exponential growth of it because of it. I think people are attracted to it because of it, because there's excitement.
And because they see other people doing things they never thought about.
Yes. And
right.
There's, well, I think having all these people watch a video like that is very exciting to these people.
Yeah.
And then putting this video on YouTube or something like that or whatever and get it on the internet and have like a million people watch them chop like a finger off, like it turns them on. It's like a freak out. It's like this crazy thing where they have all this attention.
I'm so glad that's not me. I mean, I really am happy that I was lucky enough to not come up and my raising didn't make me think it was cool to cut off my own finger. I know. Times
I'm
have changed, haven't
that
they?
All right, Joe Rogan is here. UFC 84 is this weekend. We'll talk about that. He's doing some stand-up next weekend in Hermosa Beach, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
No handlebars.
Can we talk about something besides the internet?
Anything
no,
besides the
no.
internet?
Please. Dear God. Our friend Joe Rogan in studio with the Kevin Bean Show this morning. Of course, this Saturday, MGM Grand Las Vegas, UFC fight, UFC 84, Ill Will. We had your boy Tito on yesterday, Joe. And he says this is the most important fight he ever had to win because this is going to be the last one for real. And he sounds pretty serious about saying this is his last ever UFC fight. Is it just all posturing? Is he just looking for a big, big raise, or do you believe him?
I have no idea. I mean, I like Tito. Tito's a cool guy. He's always been cool to me. Respect him tremendously as a fighter. He's done a lot of things. He's had some injuries. You know, and I think right now, I mean, I think his position is that he doesn't get enough respect and they don't treat him right. And
right,
they,
which means money, right? That's what that translates
to.
Respect
you know
is shown in dollars, right?
I'm not a businessman, so I have no idea what he should get paid. I haven't really, you know, looked into how much he does get paid. I know Dana White says one number, Tito says another, and they go back and forth and they get angry at each other and call each other names. I don't know.
There were but a bunch if you can find someone who pays him more.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, that guy puts asses in the seats, the bottom. Line.
He does. He does.
You know,
yeah.
People,
but he's 33. Where does that rank on the range of ages that are appropriate for that sport?
Well, Randy Couture
is much
older than that. Randy's
yeah,
43.
True.
You know, but he's an anomaly. You know, there's not a whole lot of guys that can compete. Boss Rutten did it. He fought when he was 40. did really well. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys who, I mean, look at, you know, like Bernard Hopkins has been able to box like deep into his 40s. He's 43 now.
That's unbelievable.
He's not quite at the same speed that he was just a couple of years ago.
Tell us about Saturday's bill.
Well, the big fight, the main event, is the greatest fight in the history of the lightweight division. For real.
Really?
For real. Champion versus champion. This Sean Sherk, who was the champion, he got stripped for having a banned substance in his system, and he maintains that it was a tainted supplement and it wasn't really a steroid. Or,
maybe he was actually shocked took,
could be.
So nobody took it from him.
Yeah.
Just got taken from him legally, or whatever.
He says that it's a flaw in the testing. And he said he took three lie detector tests and passed, and then took separate drug tests and passed. But he's got a big dispute with the California State Athletic Commission. And I don't know.
What do you think? You know something about drug testing.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I have no idea. Yeah, I know he's huge. I mean, he looks like a guy that would do something like that, but that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of guys who have incredible genetics, and he's always looked like that. He's always looked like a bodybuilder.
He didn't explode like some guys.
And he works out like a fiend. I mean, if you watch that guy's workouts, you're like, well, there's where all the muscle comes from. This guy's a beast. Who knows? You can't tell because people, we have this idea that, you know, that any performance enhancer, whether it's human growth hormone or testosterone or anything, you're cheating. You're a cheater. Right. You have weak character. And, you know, and so no one admits when they're taking it. Who knows how many people are actually taking it and masking it and figuring out a way to move around it.
And he's fighting BJ Penn.
Anyway, the bottom line is he's a bad dude. He's a killer. I mean, Sean Sherk is a small, compact guy who's got tremendous physical strength, but incredible endurance on top of that, which is very rare. And he puts up a pace that dudes just can't hang with. Guys who are really badass, like Hermes Franca, he's just wilted under the pace. And this guy's just passing his guard and mounting him and punching him constantly, does not let up. Wow. And if you're not in insane condition, you're not going to be able to hang in there with him. And then, on the other hand, he's fighting BJ Penn, and BJ is one of the greatest mixed martial arts fighters pound for pound ever, guaranteed right now. And his skill set is so diverse. He's so good at striking and so good at jiu-jitsu. His takedown defense is unprecedented. No one has takedown defense like his. He's like got the most incredible flexibility, whereas guys can grab his legs and they're literally pushing his foot up to his face when they're standing there trying to take him down, and he's hopping around on one leg punching him in the face. I mean, he's incredible. He's a freak of nature. He's a guy who won the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Championships after he'd been training for 3 years. That's unheard of.
Wow.
A guy even getting his black belt in 3 years is unheard of.
Yeah.
But a guy getting his black belt in 3 years and then winning the World Championships. That's insanity.
Crazy.
That's how crazy BJ is. And, you know, it's just like two trains on the same track headed towards each other. And who knows how it's going to work out. You know,
exciting.
BJ has to hang with Sean's pace, and Sean has to avoid getting submitted, and he has to avoid getting knocked out on his feet. You know, if Sean can get him on his back and try to ground and pound a victory, that's how he's going to get it. And BJ, I could see BJ catching him in some sort of a submission, or I could see BJ possibly catching him with some punches and knocking him out.
That's one of the best things about the UFC and MMA in general, is that you can be equal with or winning, and then in, seems like, 3 seconds.
You zig when you should have zagged, and bam.
Yep. Just to get in so quickly.
Caught in a submission, or you get knocked out. It's crazy. And you can never predict who's going to win. I mean, when people say, oh, this is what's going to happen, you have no idea. When two dudes are in there throwing their bones at each other, it's very difficult to predict. I mean, you can kind of guess. And most of the time, you might be right, but anything can happen. We get crazy upsets all the time.
Do they have such things as favorites in UFC, or do they not even go down that route?
Yes. No, they do. They have betting odds in Vegas, of course. They would never pass on the opportunity to make some money.
So who's the favorite in this one?
So BJ says Penn. The experts.
BJ
He's
the favorite.
The favorite.
Interesting. Yes.
Wow.
You know, Sean Sherk is, you know, he's gone through a lot of controversy right now, and I don't know how much that affects people's bet, because it's a lot of it. I don't know. I think in Vegas, at least, I think they put up odds, and then as the money comes in, they adjust the odds.
Right. Of course. Based on getting money equally, I think.
Right. But the odds are pretty much, you know, they're pretty similar online too.
So that's just one of the fights for Saturday night in Vegas. Then there's the Axe Murderer versus the Dean of Mean. And I got to tell you, knowing nothing about those guys, you got to give it to the Axe Murderer.
Well, you would think, but the Dean of Mean in his last fight just beat Chuck Liddell. and Chuck Liddell just beat Vanderlei. And that doesn't really work like that. Like, you can't say just because this guy beat that guy and this guy beat that guy, well, it doesn't really work that way.
Right.
But is the Dean of Mean really trying in a sport where you've got a dragon and a muscle shark? I mean, well, is the Dean of Mean...
It's a huge step because Keith is, like, really, really quiet guy. So for him to even call himself the Dean of Mean, you know, I mean, to just... somebody definitely made it up for him. But he's a really cool guy, really mild-mannered, like, quiet, reserved guy who beats the hell out of people, you know? And people take him, like, very lightly because of that, because he's not a brash guy. He's not, like, confident like Tito, where he can talk a lot of trash and, you know, and get in people's heads. He's not like that at all. He's, like, really quiet and reserved. But he's a bad dude. He knocked out Forrest Griffin. He beat Chuck Liddell. He's a dangerous, dangerous dude. He just fights awkward. And because of the way he fights awkward, like, people underestimate him for some reason. But he's just one of those dudes. You can't underestimate him. And he can beat Vanderlei.
This one's way sold out in Las Vegas, right? You can't. It has been for a long time.
Yeah.
So pay-per-view is your
best
bet there.
Well, they're insane, man. If you haven't been to one live, you owe yourself. If you can afford it, if you can, you know, take some money, put it aside, and go to one of those fights in Vegas. Get a good seat and go. It's insane. The level of energy when you're watching, like, a big title fight. Like, BJ and Sean, like, when BJ Penn fights Sean Sherk this weekend, right before it happens, I always look at Mike Goldberg and I start slapping him on the forehead. Like, he just gets so crazy. Like, oh, it's about to go down!
You know, you're so excited.
You can't contain yourself. You start slapping yourself, slapping him in the forehead. You're like, whoa, this is nuts.
Is this the best bill ever? I mean,
no,
is it-
I don't know if it's the best bill ever. It's a very good bill. Sometimes bills look great on paper, but then the fights, for whatever reason, become boring decisions.
Last time you were here, you were saying you had people contacting you for tickets months ago.
Yeah, well, this is the greatest fight in lightweight history. Well, it's because Sean Sherk, who has not lost the title in the ring, he was stripped, and then BJ Penn won the interim, and then when they decided to strip Sean Sherk, it became, like, the title.
Right.
So BJ Penn has the belt, but he didn't beat Sean for the belt. But BJ looked dominant when he beat Joe Stevens. So it's like, whoa. Yeah. I mean, Sean Sherk was dominant when he beat Hermes Franca, too, in his last fight. It's an insane matchup.
And then we talked to Tito Ortiz yesterday about his book, and this is his last fight with UFC. He's going to be fighting on the same bill as well.
That's a big fight, too. He's fighting Lyoto Machida, and it's a real interesting fight, you know. If Tito of old, the Tito that, like, was fighting Forrest Griffin in the first round, if you watch that fight, Tito was all over Forrest Griffin, took him down, blasted him with elbows. If he can get Machida on his back like that, he could have big troubles. Tito is a big boy. He's very big for 205. He's strong, and if he's healthy, I know he had some back problems, if he's healthy and he's healed all that, you know, it could be a very entertaining fight, you know, if he can get Machida down on the ground. Standing up, though, Machida is lightning fast, and he's a great counterattacker. He's got a real good lead left hand, and he just darts in karate style and blasts you with it, and he catches a lot of dudes with it. His stand-up is very good. Good leg kicks,
so
good jiu-jitsu.
UFC 84, Ill Will, is Saturday night, 7 o'clock, MGM Grand. You were saying that people should put aside some money and try to go to a fight. The next one in Vegas is...
July 5th is going to be the next one. That might be almost sold out already. There's...
Wow.
The one, there's a lot of them. We're doing a lot of them overseas now. We're doing, like, in June, we're in London, and then, you know, we were in Ohio, we're in Denver. We're all over the place now, and so we're not going to have as many in Vegas as there used to be. It's going to be, like,
so
only a few times
faster.
A year.
And just to clear it up, you weren't at the Montreal fight. Everybody was saying blah, blah, blah. You're not going to do it anymore. You're fine. You're going to be doing the UFC the whole game.
Okay. No, my girlfriend was having a baby, and I did want to leave early.
Like I said, thank God you're not a father.
Oh. Bill Rogan is here.
How dare you,
sir?
You
can contact your pay provider, satellite, or cable for the fight this weekend. And, of course, Joe will be doing stand-up on the 30th and 31st. So coming up next weekend at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club. We have to take a quick break. Joe, can you stick around for one
more?
Hell
yeah. All right.
Joe Rogan is here. You can see him doing some comedy at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, May 30th and 31st. Go to ComedyMagicClub.com. And, of course, he'll be there ringside for UFC 84 in Las Vegas. You want to get that on the pay-per-view if you can. Joe, I thought about you last week, I want to say it was, on House. Do you watch that show, House? The great Hugh Laurie show?
Oh, is it good?
So good.
Really?
It's so good. Yeah.
Too many good shows, man. I get addicted. Battlestar Galactica right now. That's my heroine.
I love that
heroine!
Show.
I like
it's
that
almost
show.
Over.
Awesome. Oh, I know.
How many episodes left?
I haven't even seen the season. I started on season one this year. It's insanely
that's
good.
What Lisa did too. And then caught up, and now
such
I'm watching.
Such a good
it.
Show. Best, most entertainment value, like, for your dollar ever. Get the
I
series
agree.
DVD.
And I'm
fantastic.
I'm not a huge fan of that kind of stuff, but that show is so well done that you just love it.
You got to take some giant leaps. like, okay, you live in space, and where are you getting your food? What? You know, it's like, you got a food making machine? Okay, cool.
You know, as long as you covered it.
You know, it's like, you buy into it, that's fine.
I bought a TV series on DVD yesterday that just came out yesterday, and you guys are going to make fun of this. I shouldn't even say. I probably shouldn't even.
No, come on, baby.
What is it? Something gay.
Square Pigs.
Really? Spent money
came
on
out
that?
On DVD yesterday. Square Pigs.
I bet if you were high, that would be fascinating.
But he's
I have
not.
A feeling. I remember it as being really great, but I have a feeling I'm going to put it in and it's going to be a disaster. I have a feeling it's going to be awful.
Bean, I think there are 100 reasons you should get high. In your life.
You definitely need some. You're going to die anyway,
really?
Buddy.
The dude showed up.
Well, it's not. Nobody needs it, but it makes things more fun.
The dude showed up at the Weenie Roast over the weekend. Bean did with pigtails.
Oh, that's hot. Why'd you do
Thank
that?
You, Joe.
Because
it was hot.
Okay. Hot
that's cool.
Because
it was so hot out.
You know what?
Why
is it okay to have a ponytail, but it's not okay to have two? That's ridiculous. I'm with Bean.
Bean says ponytails are gay.
Why does Bean think it's less gay to have pigtails than a ponytail?
Before I answer this, I want to tell you that you're talking to a dude who wears a fanny pack to the airport still in 2008. So I have zero fashion sense.
So
I wear
Joe's
a fanny
got
pack
my back
and
that
it's
doesn't
convenient.
Help me.
I'm trying to bring the fanny pack back. I want to take pictures. I want to endorse them. I'm like, when I travel, I want to put all my stuff in a fanny pack. You know, I don't look. It's so easy.
That's a huge unclip fanny pack, dude.
Not all my stuff. Okay. I mean, not my clothes. I mean, but you know, like you know, your keys,
like a giant
you got
pack.
Your wallet, you got your cell phone, and when you go to the airport, you got to pull all this stuff
out.
I'm
when
like,
you're
why can't I just bring?
It makes sense.
I have a friend who wears a man purse because he thinks a fanny pack is gay. And I'm like, how much of a slave are you to other people's opinion? You won't let something clip around your waist, but you'll throw it over your shoulder, and that's okay.
That makes
insane.
It better.
Huh? Yeah. It just doesn't have the stigma. So, what? I'm sorry, the House thing?
House, yeah. So, Dr. House is played by the great British actor Hugh Laurie, who does a flawless American accent. That impresses me every week. But he's this genius guy, and he had a memory blackout, and he's trying to recreate an accident that he was in because it's going to help one of the people who was hurt in the crash. So, what he does to clear his mind and to maybe bring some of those memory back is he climbs into the Joe Rogan isolation tank.
Oh, it's hardly the Joe Rogan isolation tank.
Does it have
tank.
Joe Rogan's name on it?
Did you ever see the movie Altered States?
Oh, of course.
Of course. And
that's
there's references.
Where I heard it from.
There's references to that in house, too. They bring that up in house. And, of course, the it's hot 28-year-old doctor has never heard of Altered States because it came out before she was born. But anyway, it was really, really cool. And I thought about you because last time you were here when we talked about it, and Joe has given away his older isolation tank because he got a new one. You can go to his website and check it out. But you were saying that you really do think of stuff. Your brain works in a different way once you take the make the sensory deprivation happen. When you're not worried about everything else that's going on around you because all of that's unlimited. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't feel anything, right?
Right. So what you have to realize is, and if you don't know what an isolation tank is, it's like a giant bathtub that you climb into, and it's got 11 inches of water in it and 800 pounds of salt. And the water is heated up to the same temperature as your body, as your skin, 93.5 degrees, so that you don't feel the water. And then you close the lid on this thing, and you're in total silence, total darkness. Because
that's
of all the salt in the water, you're buoyant, and you have no sensory input. And in the absence of sensory input, it's like your brain becomes supercharged. It's like you're super aware. It's like you're not judging space and distance and social cues, and you're not seeing, hearing, feeling. There's nothing. There's no
like
body.
Untethered. It just
yes, exactly.
Away.
That's a great way to describe
that sounds
it.
Sounds bad.
It's awesome.
I think it sounds awesome.
It's awesome
I want to
try you can end it.
It
at any
like
second.
That.
You can end it any second. If
can
you
I
freak
end it
out,
before I get
open.
In?
And I bet you don't have to call 911.
But it's very once you learn how to relax in there, it's very insightful. You can find out so many things about yourself in there.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Does it make sense to you? Does that work how you've described the tank and how it works? Does it make sense the way they used it in the plot, which is that he's trying to remember stuff that he can't remember because of all the distractions in the world, and that's what helped him do
it? The traumatic event.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. Yeah. I mean, I think with any traumatic event, I think the real issue is trying to decipher how much of it is your emotional reaction to things. Like, you know, like a lot of people from traumatic events, their memories are kind of screwed up, like jarred, you know?
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had some traumatic moments in my life where I look back, I'm like, I'm remembering like bursts, like seconds of action, and I don't remember the whole thing because it was too crazy. You know,
and
so,
yet somewhere in your brain, it's
yeah,
there,
maybe
probably.
The isolation tank would be great for that. Yeah.
Bean
yeah.
could recover the first 15 years of his life, which
that
he doesn't
be.
Remember.
You don't
I
remember
do
your,
that if I
your childhood?
And I tell I him that means he was none. Touched, and he denies it.
Andy Dick is the same way. Andy doesn't remember a lot of his childhood.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know what it is. I was in a very serious car accident at age 15,
oh,
and I was unconscious, and I do think that that was almost certainly what it was.
But that's 100% it.
Isn't it also possible that he was touched? Yes. I mean, that's what Kevin hopes is the case.
Okay. You know, look, man, I would never, you know, I mean, anything's possible. And that's one of the things the internet's showing us.
Yes, it is.
This day and age, it's like.
And we end right where we began at Two Girls, One Cup.
You thought about it, there's a website for it.
The great Joe Rogan, always entertaining to spend time with him. Please get the fight this weekend. It sounds awesome. UFC 84 at the MGM Grand Las Vegas. Contact your satellite or cable provider. And then go see Joe Friday, May 30th and Saturday, May 31st. Don't just pick one night. Go to both nights. That's what I'm saying. Get the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa. Joe, congratulations to you on your new child.
Thank you.
And it's always great to see you. Thanks for stopping by the Kevin
Bean
Show.
It's always great to be here. I love you guys. Thank you.
Let go!
Yeah.
Let go! Let go!
We have a decision to make because we're speaking with Lamar Odom after the news at 9. Of course, the Lakers kicking off their Western Conference Finals tonight with San Antonio, Game 1 at Staples Center. Do we tell Lamar that we're responsible for them winning over Utah because of Mike's shoes?
Whoa, what's this we? What's this we?
We the fans. We the fans.
I think...
Do we not bring that up because it'll somehow jinx it because it's been working so far, so why screw with it?
I think that we indulge that fascinating BS and that maybe Lamar has a little more to do with it than Mike's shoes. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Just me.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page so we, you know, somebody doesn't slip and say something and then we all get yelled at and blamed. And by the way, those of you who've been emailing suggesting that there's some sort of Kevin Bean curse, why don't you suck on what Blake DeWitt has been doing for the Dodgers ever since we talked to him on this show, by the way. Isn't he batting almost 400 or something since he was on our show?
Since you talked to him, not only is he batting 400, the Dodgers just finished up three game winning streak with the Reds, and he, two nights ago, had the game-winning hit.
Exactly.
All right, then.
So suck on Blake.
Exactly. People. So don't worry about the curse. Ralph's on vacation this week. We're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. This story is for you, Lisa.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I see the words Sex in the City and sequel in the same sentence in my newspaper this morning.
Come on. Why would you even bring that up?
Really?
The movie is not even out yet, but there's already talk of another one. Your guy, Chris Noth, who plays Mr. Big.
Yes.
He says, he told TV Guide magazine that he loves the story in this movie because it doesn't end happily ever after. It's a continuation that could go anywhere, .. meaning they're leaving it open for maybe another one if this one is as successful as everybody's expecting it.
Fabulous news. Fabulous.
It is insane, the groups of women that are making plans already to get together to go to, I mean, like 20 and 30 at a time are getting together to go see this thing when it opens.
Do you think we can just talk them into moving it up? Just get it. Let's just get the movie out there and get this over with.
There's so few movies that are aimed for women like this with women leads.
Right?
I mean, you should not begrudge us getting excited.
I'm not saying
about
cancel it.
It.
I'm saying move it up so that we can get past it.
How can you say that when Maid of Honor and Baby Mama are both out right now? Those are both made for women with women leads, though.
They're crappy movies.
And this one's going to be crappy, too, Lisa.
This is going to be fabulous.
And by fabulous, you mean
fabulous.
Crappy?
I mean fabulous.
Well, I just wanted to give you something to be excited about, Lisa.
Okay, I am.
That's a
sequel. Thank you.
The R. Kelly trial begun. And
yes.
As everyone thought, the opening arguments happened, and R. Kelly's representative said it wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly has a mole that's not in the video. Mm-hmm. And they also said, and who's this girl? She's not the girl. The girl that's in the video is claiming it's not her. So what are they going to do? So anyway, that went as expected. 6 years after.
Unbelievable. I would love to find out exactly why this took so long.
I think...
it's a criminal trial. It doesn't...
Yeah, I think he has great lawyers that money can...
Sure.
If you can buy lawyers that are good enough, I think they can... Who knows?
But
6 years seems ridiculous, though.
But you have to have a judge who's going to play along because lawyer can be good and go in and say, we would like to move for a continuation, or we'd like a change of venue, or we'd like more time for this, or we'd like to change that. But you have to have a judge who's going to accept those. And I think a lot of times, particularly in a high-profile case, a judge will agree to more than he normally would because he doesn't want the bad publicity if the case is somehow derailed or it ends in a hung jury or it gets thrown out for whatever reason because of the judge's conduct.
Oh, because it's his fault. So he doesn't.
Because it's his fault. Right. He doesn't want a case for appeal to be made because he decided not to give them a continuation for some reason that somebody could down the road argue was legitimate. And I think that's part of what happens.
I think the...
To some extent.
I think the lawyers should bring in Hair Braider. I think they should just play Hair Braider for the jury. Have you heard this song, the new R. Kelly
I have
song?
Not heard his new song, no.
It's about having sex with the girl who braids his hair.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
Is she... I'm doing my head up. Is she doing my head so good that I got the way she's tripped for me, I got I can't wait to see her when it comes to the weekends. I'ma hit that when it comes to the weekend. Play some cards, break my hair, creep with me on weekends. She can't take me on a weekday yeah. cause her man
Guilty. Yeah, life in prison.
Oh
I'm sorry.
God.
He's gonna have sex with his hair braider.
Hair freaking braider.
Come on. How is this guy so popular?
I know.
I Believe I Can Fly was a hit. I mean, working in radio, you can hear that certain songs
catchy,
people are gonna love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But really,
horrible.
I mean, he has had some other good songs,
but
and of course,
hair
Trapped in the Closet is one of the best songs ever made.
Right. But having said that, also one of the worst songs ever made.
Exactly. I know. Yeah, you're right about that.
I don't know what the
wow.
deal is.
Hair braider. And finally, well, I got two more real quick I want to do. I love Natalie Portman's news story because she's hot and she has to, at this point, she's been a celebrity and an actress and famous for long enough to understand that people are obsessed with people who are like her.
Sure.
Especially beautiful young women like her. She says, look, just because I'm willing to do nakedness for a movie, I don't understand why people are so excited about that and take that out of context and take those pictures and put them up on the internet. I don't get that. I don't like that. She's complaining to Ireland Online that her nude scene that she did in the Hotel Chevalier movie last year,
yeah.
she doesn't regret doing that, but she's really pissed off that, you know, such a big deal was made of it and that pictures were put up on people's websites and stuff like that. To which I say, are you new to Earth?
Yeah.
Have you not met a man? She can't blame us for wanting to see Natalie Portman naked. I'm sorry, that does not make us a bad person.
Natalie doesn't think she's sexy. Obviously.
She's wrong.
Well, she doesn't get it.
But really, that should be... She should understand she's a celebrity.
And as a celebrity, she's very private. You know, you don't see her out in the clubs and stuff like that. So I kind of get her like, hey, I'm not presenting myself to be followed and chased. Leave me alone.
Right, but she
I'm
can't
just
help
doing
it.
Work.
If you're hot.
Don't be so hot.
Don't be hot.
Don't be hot.
You should have thought of that before you got hot.
Exactly. And finally, and this is my favorite story to make us feel bad about our dead-end low-paying jobs, $5.2 million is how much the already very wealthy Elton John will make for 1 hour's work, ladies and gentlemen. A $5.2 million paycheck for a one-hour performance to open a new hotel in Moscow. They've been going after him for some time. I think they started at $1 million, and then they went to $2 million, and he still wasn't interested. And then they said, how about $3 million? And he said, let me think about it. And they said, how about $4 million? And he said, I might be able to make that. And then apparently at $5.2 million, he said, all right, I'm in. I can't turn that down.
And he also gets half of the mafia crime in Russia as well.
That's 60 minutes of work right there.
Yeah, it's $5.2 million an hour.
That's to go out there and sing Rocket Man again, and he gets $5.2 million. So congratulations to Elton John. Actor Judge Reinhold turns 51 today to lead off our celebrity birthdays. Al Franken, comedian, question mark, now politician, is 57 years old today. Lisa Edelstein, the hottie from House, at 40, by the way. Looks fantastic. And, of course, the reason we celebrate, I can't believe it's not even a national holiday today. Ladies and gentlemen, from the A-Team, the great Mr. T turns 56 years old today.
Get up, fool!
Sorry, Mr. T, just wishing
First
you a happy birthday.
Mister. Middle name, period. Last name, T.
Lamar Odom is next. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Lamar Odom and the Lakers.
Listed at 6'11", 280 pounds. Odom backing down. Down inside. Closes the distance. Takes it right to the chest.
Nice move by Lamar Odom.
You know what? I really want to shoot the ball better from the outside.
Finds Odom swooping to the hoop for the bucket.
Play with a lot of energy.
Lamar with the strong finish after the steal.
You know, help this team play defense and run his offense.
Oh, Lamar! Is amazing. Oh, he tipped it on his way down after the first didn't go home.
Oh, what a tip.
Unbelievable.
You know, this only comes around in a sportsman's lifetime every once in a while. We're considering winning a championship. We have the talent for it once we get everybody back on the court.
The Lakers are going to the Western Conference Finals back where they belong.
Let me tell you something about our pal Lamar Odom. He is the right man for the right team at the right time. Lakers playing tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. It's the Western Conference Finals, 6 o'clock. You can see it on TNT. And Lamar Odom joins us right now on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Yeah.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, we're very excited to have you on, and thank you for helping the Lakers get back to the playoffs. Like the announcer man said, back where they belong. It seems like it's been a drought because we're a little spoiled as Laker fans.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. You know, that big trade that went down with Shaq, it took us some time to gel as a team. In order to get this far in the playoffs and to win a championship, you have to become a family, and it took us some time, but we're here now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, we're really spoiled because it didn't take very long.
True.
Yeah. LA is supposed to be spoiled. We can't help it. This is a city of winners and guys and gals that do well. So right now we're just doing our best on the court and off the court to try to help to protect the city's image.
Is this the most fun you've ever had playing basketball in your career, Lamar?
Oh, of course. I've never been this far in the playoffs my 9 seasons of basketball. And from now on, every game that I play is the most important game of my life.
Do you get nervous at all?
I wouldn't call it nervous. Maybe your first, one or two games in the playoffs of your career, of course, that you're nervous a little bit and you get the butterflies. I just, get an adrenaline rush that I can't compare anything to.
I saw your interview recently in the New York Times. And, of course, we've known about you for a long time because you played in Los Angeles for a long time. But people around the country now are really starting to find out who Lamar Odom is from all this national exposure the team is getting. And you were talking about how you started dreaming of winning an NBA Finals or at least competing for one back when you were, 5, 6, 7 years old. This has always been your dream your whole life.
Yeah, when I first got introduced to the game, when I was 6 years old, it was a blessing because I was one of those few people that knew what they wanted to do in life. I remember being in class and, we were 8, 9, 10 years old, and the teacher going around asking everybody, where they want to be, what they want to do when they grow up. And you could say an astronaut and the teacher say, oh, that's great. Or you could say a high-powered attorney and the teacher tell you that's great. But when you tell them a professional basketball player, they kind of start to throw the numbers in the heart.
that's sad.
A little bit, but I remember watching the finals, being 7, 8 years old, when they used to come on CBS, and kind of always knew in my heart what I would be doing and what I would be, playing for.
See, the difference between you and I is I knew that as well, that I would also be in the NBA Finals, and and I'm not.
Not so much.
Not even close.
What is it?
You go for in life, you have to visualize it, so I had that vision pretty early.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, Lamar, and I've never heard you address why this is, but why did you get so much better once Powell joined the Lakers midseason? How has he made your game better?
Well, what happened is he's tremendously talented, and Powell has made everyone better. He's made Kobe better. He's made Luke Walton better. Vladimir Manovich better because he just helped us right away. He's an all-star caliber player, and he helped the team right away. I guess because he's such a great passer. He's such a great inside passer, such a great passer internally that, everyone saw that. I got a lot of easy shots. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, he's so great at boxing his man out, a lot more defensive rebounds. And he, of course, he has helped me tremendously.
Were you surprised at how quickly he fit in? It seemed like from the very first second he had been playing with you guys your whole lives.
Yeah, because the triangle offense is what we call the intricate offense. Every pass leads to a new play, and it was amazing. It was meant to be because it was amazing how quick he caught on. Just shows how high his basketball IQ is.
We've seen a lot, just watching the game, you can see the different style that Kobe is playing in this year. Is Coach Jackson coaching you guys any differently this year than last year?
I would say no, because he's always been a great coach. I think it's just us gelling together as a team, becoming family. We watched the Western Conference Finals together as a team before every round this year. I mean, we ate with each other. Our star was named the MVP.
That's right.
And that was due to us winning more games.
Right.
Because he's been the MVP for the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, Coach Jackson is one of the greatest coaches in the world. One of the greatest coaches in NBA history, and we're just trying to go out there and represent him well.
You know what I like about Coach Jackson is that you always see when a team calls a timeout, The coach gets in the middle, and the team surrounds him, and then the coach gives him the pep talk and tells him what he wants them to do. Yeah. Coach Jackson just walks out kind of away from the bench and talks to his assistant coaches just about till it's time to go back out and play. Yeah. And then he walks in and he goes, okay, guys, go get him.
You know, I think that is because he likes to he doesn't show any emotion. He stays even keel. If we're up by 20, you know, he'll sit down. And if we're getting beat by 10 or 15, he's the same way. He's a master of the mind, and he knows how to rub that off on us. He kind of stays poised all the time, stays sure. under control, and we're a reflection of our coach.
This is Lamar Odom you're hearing. We're talking to on the Kevin Abid, Sean Kerrock, talking about Lakers versus Spurs. I'm sure you have some thoughts. Maybe there's some stuff you won't say publicly, but are you glad that they're the team you're facing tonight in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, the reason why we're glad, because they are the team that won the championship last year. And to become a champion, you have to be the champion. And it's significant to us to go against the San Antonio Spurs and try to beat them to advance to the finals.
At this point, are the Clippers just a bad nightmare?
Well, you know, they're a team that was in a great place the last 2 years. 2 years ago, as far as their team's concerned. I mean, when you lose Elton Brand, it just hurts you. They got great players over there, great guys over there. Once they are allowed to keep a team together 3 or 4 years, I'm pretty sure they'll be all right.
That's been the wrap on that. I'm sure they're sorry to see guys like you go, but I'm sure they're also rooting for you in this series too. Hey, Lamar, you mentioned talking about how you discovered the game at six and knew you fell in love with it. And you knew that was going to be your destiny. Is that why the Lamar Odom basketball camp exists? Because you want to help other young people in the same situation?
Yeah, I mean, I love working with kids, especially with basketball, and I'm looking forward to have this camp on August 11th through the 14th. It's for the youth. This is how you get in touch and come in contact with your fans, and there's nothing better for me.
And what do you do for them? Do you train them? You teach
well,
them?
I'll be there showing them drills, working out with them, of course, talking to them, and just being around them, of course, while it's a basketball and his or her on my hand. It'll be a special moment for these kids.
It's the Lamar Odom Basketball Camp, August 13th through the 14th at the New Hanger Athletic Exchange, which is down in Hawthorne. You can go to haxla.com if you want registration or information. But Lamar has generously agreed to let us give one away. So if you've got a kid age 6 to 17 years old that you think would love the basketball camp with Mr. Odom, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and we'll make it caller 20 if you want to win that from Lamar.
Very cool, Lamar. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good luck with the camp, and best luck in the finals, conference finals.
Thanks a lot. I hope you guys watch the game tonight.
Oh, we will. Thank you.
You know we will. Don't worry about that. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, bud.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do is where you pick up the phone and give us a call and get on the air, and we give you a prize. And this is a good week to be a guest on our show, because we're going to give you tickets to the Hootenanny July 5th at the Oak Canyon Ranch. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10. That's with Mike Ness, Tiger Army, and more. Also, Affliction Clothing presents Affliction Band. That's going to be tickets are on sale now for the Honda Center event, which is coming up July 19th. It's a huge MMA night. You get all of that just for spending about 30 seconds with us on the phone right now.
All right. Let's begin with George in Inglewood. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
What it do?
What it do with everyone over there and my baby boo?
Hey.
What's going on?
Okay. What's the obsession with people wanting to exercise now?
What is the obsession with wanting to exercise?
They don't want to be fat and die?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's coming out. There's a thing coming out for the Wii today. It's called the Wii Fit. It's for all those gamers out there that sit on their ass all day, don't do anything, but yet want to exercise now. They connect it to their Nintendo, their Wii. They put it on the floor and they follow instructions on the screen. Why can't they go to a gym?
I think it might be for older people. Am I right?
It's
Mike?
Not designed specifically.
It's the Nintendo Wii. Come on,
for older people.
Yeah, true. There's not old people playing the Wii.
It's not designed specifically for older. But this, they have done trials with this actual game in old folks' homes, and it does get them more active. It's getting people who normally would not be engaging in activities that involve a lot of physical strain.
They can play tennis, whereas they can't really go out and play tennis, but they can go through the movements. It's
it's more fun for them.
It's completely
gay.
They won't hurt themselves.
There's no actual stress placed on their joints and ligaments and stuff like that, but it's still getting their heart rate up and making them breathe harder.
I'm going to call BS on George's outrage. Look, anything that people find fun to do that also gets them exercise is going to be popular, and it's going to be something that they gravitate toward. And that's all this is. This is just like picking whatever sport you enjoy, and that's how you choose to work out. Like, I enjoy watching TV. That's how I work out. Is I sit on the couch, I watch TV, and I use the remote control. So I used to get up and actually turn the TV on and off with my hand. I don't do that anymore. Now I just use the remote.
That's way too much work. All right, let's go to Little Puppet in Pacoima.
Yeah!
Hey, Little
Puppet!
Yo, what it do, Durden? Hey, guys, I just want to say thank you, because I went to the screening yesterday for Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I was surprised that Harrison Ford wasn't one of the mummies.
See, I mean, what you did? Now, yeah. He didn't, he wasn't too old to pull it off?
I mean, usually in interviews, he's just horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
The movie
absolutely.
Was awesome, energetic. I mean, it was great.
Excellent.
It was really awesome.
I'm glad to hear that. It comes out the 22nd, which is odd because it's tomorrow. It's a Thursday, but it's really tonight at midnight.
I think it's because of Memorial Day. They can take advantage of that as well.
Right.
He is 65, but apparently on screen still looks like a much younger man.
Shia LaBeouf, too. I mean, that guy, he was really good. I mean, he's the next star that's just going to be great.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're
absolutely.
Right. I'm so excited
absolutely.
About this.
All right, Little, thanks. I'm excited.
I
too.
Am not as excited as I perhaps should be. And I saw the first couple of the Indiana Jones movies, but I guess it was just so long ago that it's not like I've been sitting around for all these years wishing I could see it again or waiting for the return of.
Them? Didn't you love them when you saw them?
I seem to remember them being good, but it's not something that ever stuck with me as, God, I can't wait to go back to that, like it was with Star Wars.
You know what? It's kind of a heterosexual, kind of a manly thing.
Which is why I love it.
Yeah.
And Bean doesn't.
And Bean doesn't. He's still got the residue from the pigtails.
High School Musical.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Bean, not excited. Exactly. Not excited about the Indiana Jones movie. Can tell you right now the countdown to the minute of when the High School Musical 4 is coming.
Hello.
First of all, it's High School Musical 3, and second of all, it's not till August 19th, so let's not get crazy.
Exactly.
Let's try Brandy in Hacienda Heights on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's on line 6. Brandy, what it do?
Hi, what it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
What it do, Brandy?
What's going on?
I need your professional opinion.
All right.
Okay, I got an argument with my boyfriend about something happening on TV, so I need your guys' opinion.
Okay.
If you were my boyfriend, and I sent someone over to you just to see, you know, to flirt with you, tempt you, to see if you would do anything, because I have some suspicions about you, and you fall for it. Whose fault is it? Mine or yours?
Absolutely. Yours. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
You are a biatch.
You really are. He should break. He should cheat on you. Then he should break up with you. Then he should make it hurt. Look, here's what you're doing. Is you're leaving the dog alone at home, and you're putting a chocolate cake in the middle of the floor in the living room, and you're saying, all right, let's see what happens. I'm just going to leave that cake out there and see if the dog eats it.
Not even 50%?
Nope.
100%.
What were you – I mean, if he just flirts, is that bad?
No, because we had seen it on TV where someone had fell for that, and I was watching it, and I told my boyfriend, he was like, what a jerk that girl is. And I'm like, what? Like, you don't take any blame for it? You know? And he was like, no way.
Yeah, I don't think he set people up like
here's
that.
The thing. Yeah, here's the thing, though, is that if you hadn't made that move, would he have cheated? You have no way of knowing.
Right.
But what if it wasn't a paid person or actress? What if it was some random person?
What if it's some really hot girl is just going to put on full press moves?
You're not, really? Then you never would have known about it, and you would have saved everyone involved, including us, the effort of having this conversation with you.
Yeah. You're bad, Brandy. You're bad.
It's all you, baby. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but you're a bad, bad person.
Thanks for listening, but you are bad.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel good about at least getting that that word out. That's good. So don't do that, ladies. That's what we're saying. Let us find our own people to cheat with, all right? I want to thank all of our special guests on today's show, especially Lamar Odom for joining us. Of course, Lakers versus Spurs tonight. Again, that is at 6 o'clock on TNT. Mike, you're going to be there with the shoes on, right? Tonight?
What do you think, dude?
Absolutely.
Okay. And, of course, Lamar's basketball camp. Again, the website is haxla.com. Please check that out. Also, thanks to Joe Rogan for joining us. You can call your pay-per-view satellite or cable provider to see UFC 84 this weekend. That's going to be at the MGM Grand. And Joe's doing some stand-up at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa May 30th and 31st. Always entertaining to talk to Joe.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show, we have an author of a book called No Regrets, The Best, Worst, and Most Effing Ridiculous Tattoos.
Oh.
So we'll take those
that
calls.
Sounds
that's
fun.
That's always fun.
Is beer mug in the book?
Every story starts with, I was drinking, and
yep.
Yeah.
Every story. So we'll talk about that.
Which is so weird, because every time we've had this conversation on the air, and it comes up a couple of times a year, tattoo artists say, I will not tattoo somebody when they're drunk. Yet, for some reason, these people are finding out ways to get it done.
Well, they don't go to good tattoo artists.
That must be it.
They just do it themselves.
They crap.
Petros Papadakis will be on the program tomorrow, talking sports.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell is going on with the Mexican federales putting donkeys in jail? Have you guys seen that story?
Have they run out of people?
I don't think so. They put a donkey in jail where they keep inebriated prisoners. Like people who are too drunk, they put them in a holding tank. They put the donkey in there.
What did he do?
Kick some people.
Yeah.
He did what donkeys do.
Huh.
Why not just put him someplace where he can't kick people, though? I mean, why not just do that?
Can't kick people in the jail.
Yeah, I guess that's what they're doing.
That'll teach him.
Anyway, all of that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Kat is next, 40 minutes nonstop, including the Raconteurs, also The Bravery, Nirvana, Rise Against Foo Fighters, and more. Coming up after this on K-Rock.